4, beginning at 7 o'clock. But until then, we have a best of segment for you to enjoy. So stick around. We'll give you another traffic and weather update at the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop listening. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop listening.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
And now it's the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any, every, all. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Huh. We have, we're always talking about something on the wake-up call. We're always talking about the connection with what happens in this country and what happens in the rest of the world. Earlier this morning, we were talking about the outrageous, the outrageous statement by a cleric in this country by the name of Pat Robertson, calling for the assassination of the president of Venezuela, the democratically elected president of Venezuela, a cleric calling for our government to assassinate a democratically elected president of another country. And one of the components of that that we have not discussed is the component that Venezuela... We get a lot of our oil from Venezuela. And Hugo Chavez, President Chavez, does not have to sell it to us. He can sell it to China, and he's already sat down with China and is working out the deal for that. He doesn't have to sell us anything. And very few, no one from the White House is saying that. Statements like that put the entire nation at danger. Instead, we're hearing from this administration that statements from Cindy Sheehan put the nation in danger. But a statement from a cleric to kill, to murder the president, the democratically elected president of another country, doesn't put us at risk. Well, it does. Yes, it does. It puts us in risk in ways that we don't have enough hours on the show, despite the fact that it's 4 hours every day for 5 days a week. We don't have enough hours every week to talk about the danger that it puts this country in. The nation is silent. The administration is silent when it comes to advocating, when it comes to committing, when it comes to articulating harm to a nation of people that look like brown people. And this nation, this administration, this government is silent on that. And it is up to us to raise the issues and to articulate the true crimes that are being committed in the name, in our names. It should come as no surprise that no one in this nation is in this government is concerned about what's going on in Niger. That the tsunami made for great PR for Bill Clinton to sit next to George Bush and act like they were trying to bring health and comfort to the folks during the tsunami, but the reality is that we haven't, and we're not. We need to talk honestly about what we say we do and what we actually do. One of the issues that has passed underneath the radar of a media that is obsessed with a missing blonde, blue-eyed child in Aruba. A nation the media that is not obsessed with the crimes that are going on in a country that's a bit closer than Aruba. Haiti. And we're going to talk about what the billion-dollar media industry is not talking about. Haiti. We're going to do that this morning with investigative journalist and writer Anthony Fenton. Anthony, good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Call.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm outstanding. And you're up there in Vancouver.
Yes.
All right. Well, Anthony, let's talk about Haiti because this is your thing. This is what you do. We don't hear a lot about Haiti in our billion-dollar media. In fact, I think I dare say that there aren't any of the billion-dollar media's correspondents even located in Haiti to talk about what's going on. Right now, at this moment, as we speak, what is going on in Haiti?
Well, what is going on in Haiti right now is very much what's been going on since February 29th of 2004, when the United States, Canada, and France effectively overthrew democracy there, like they tried to do in Venezuela.
How'd that work out?
through the means of a coup d'etat, mm-hmm. with the same way they've been doing it throughout the hemisphere for so many decades. Chile in 1973, maybe it began with a little further back in 1953 with the coup d'etat and the method of destabilizing democratically elected governments. They focused on Arbenz in Guatemala back in 1953. And really what, you know, this traces
Patrice Lumumba,
mm-hmm. yeah. This traces back in our hemisphere here to the Monroe Doctrine, but even further than that, it traces back to the independence of Haiti as the first true republic.
And who they beat to get there?
Yeah, three colonial powers.
Mm-hmm.
And they've ever since then been punished severely for that act. And this coup d'état in 2004. One of the most heinous acts carried out by the United States, as you said, under the radar, of the media, because they did such a good job at demonizing Aristide. They did such a good job at, and Aristide was the democratically elected president. They did a very good job at strangling them economically and making it appear as though all this was Aristide's fault. They did a good job, as they always have, like in Nicaragua in the 1980s and early 1990s, built a political opposition that made it appear as though there was popular opposition to Aristide, even though weeks before he was overthrown, a million people took to the streets in support of his constitutional mandate. That didn't matter, because the corporate media just didn't cover that story. They covered the 10,000 people, calling for his overthrow, but they didn't cover the million people taken to the streets in support of him. And that's sort of the crazy dichotomy we see carried out by the mainstream media. And today on the ground in Haiti, you have this Haitian police force that is made up of mostly former military. This is a military that Aristide disbanded over 10 years ago.
Because he had to. Because otherwise he would be funding and supporting a military that whose design was to get rid of him.
Yeah, precisely, because they did in 1991.
Yeah.
They did conspire to get rid of him. And they killed 3,000 to 5,000 people, and that's what's happened again. We've seen a repetition of the human rights abuses of the period when Aristide was overthrown the first time in a CIA-backed coup. And just recently, there have been police passing out machetes to civilian attachés who've been hacking people to death in the neighborhoods that just won't let go of their calls for the return of Aristide. There have been massive demonstrations ever since he left, and every time the people try to demonstrate, the police will either shoot into the crowds, or most recently they will go with the United Nations, or the United Nations will go on their own into these bastions of support and just start killing civilians, mothers, children.
And the scary part about, scary is not the right word, the word doesn't come to my head or heart of how awful this is, but we have reports of after the UN has been to places where people that support Aristide are located, people dying with single bullet shots to their heads.
Yeah, headshots targeting children. Headshots targeting women and targeting sandal makers. And there is video footage of this now that is circulating of the aftermath of a July 6th UN-led massacre. The UN forces are being led by Brazil, but there are over 40 different countries involved in the military occupation of Haiti today. It was the Jordanian troops who carried out this massacre primarily, from what we know. And they come from an anti-democratic country, a country where, I'm from Canada, where there are Canadian police there training Iraqi police in Jordan to go back and repress their own people under the boot of another military occupation. And you are also talking about Venezuela. I was just there for the World Festival of Youth and Students. And
I heard it was just marvelous.
Yeah, it was. It was incredible. And I should mention about Aristide and Chavez. Chavez, at actually the World Social Forum, he said that Jean-Bertrand Aristide is the legitimate president, kidnapped by the U.S. in the same way that Chavez was in the April 2002 coup in Venezuela. He mentioned that any solution to the crisis in Haiti will have to incorporate Aristide, and that the solution could not be in the hands of the United Nations or any group of presidents. So Chavez knows intimately what happened to Aristide. And Chavez, in fact, like you said, he himself said we don't have to send oil to the United States. And he said the only option for the United States now is to assassinate me.
Mm-hmm.
And very prophetic, right?
True fact. And so, and I think that a lot of people are not tying together that prior to the outrageous statement by the cleric Pat Robertson were the outrageous statements by Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld just days before.
Yeah.
When they were
yeah.
out there ratcheting it up and talking about calling him a terrorist, and they were beating the drums for this articulated demand from a cleric.
Yeah, Rumsfeld was visiting Paraguay, Peru, the allies in the area, trying to shore up support, because they fear, they're really trying to play up this Castro-Chavez relationship, and it is a friendship, and they are working together openly. as well they should, you know, and the revolution in Venezuela, you know. This is the United States. This is them at their finest hour, right, in this region. This is what they do best.
Mm.
Destabilize governments and overthrow them, and if they have to, kill the leaders. And that's what would have happened to Aristide if he'd been able to resist it. In fact, in this case, it served the United States' interests more so to have him in exile in South Africa with a muzzle on than it did to kill him. And that's why he's alive today, probably.
And there are a couple of things that I want to talk to you about, Anthony, because being an American and being, we have two other nations that border us, Mexico and Canada, and the education that I have gotten either through books or just through assimilation about Canada is, Canada is a whole lot better in a lot of respects than the United States is, but Canada played a role in what happened to Aristide. And
Right.
There's a history of Canada and dirty hands in Haiti.
Yeah, there's a history of Canadian dirty hands, period. And that's the thing.
But don't you think that Americans think more positively about the history and what Canada does than what Canada actually does?
Yeah, oh yeah, like, even Canadians think really positively about their own history, and that's the scary part that we've had to overcome in trying to educate people about what Canada is doing in Haiti. You go back as far as you want to. The one example I like to show is that our current Prime Minister's name is Paul Martin Jr. His father was, of course, Paul Martin Sr., and he was one of the more powerful federal politicians back in the 60s during the Vietnam War and during the invasion of the Dominican Republic. In 1965, a very similar situation had happened where the CIA had helped overthrow a democratically elected leader, Juan Bosch. The people had risen up and were about to take power back, and Lyndon Johnson decided to send in 20,000 Marines to put down that uprising. And Paul Martin Sr. at the time, you know, unlike any other foreign affairs minister in the hemisphere, just remained silent and complicit.
Mm.
And in Vietnam, Canada was playing very, very complicit role. Up to 300 Canadian corporations were profiting directly from the war. We have our own military-industrial complex that is relative to the United States, and then half of it is owned by American companies.
Mm.
Canada today is involved in the war, you know, against the Afghanistan people. They're in a complementary role in the war in Iraq. They're justifying these wars. They're engineering their military so that it's more complementary to the United States military. They are obviously wedded to United States foreign policy, and yet somehow they're able to maintain this perception.
Well, I think it has to do with the whole Vietnam thing, when people were allowed to flee to Canada during the Vietnam War. I think that plays into it.
Yeah, and even, say, in the 1973 coup d'etat in Chile, a week after the coup, the Canadian government recognized the Pinochet regime.
Mm.
Even as people were in the stadiums being tortured and killed. But at the same time, they opened their borders to political refugees. So that's what they do, right? It's very double-handed.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, and somehow, because of their control with their own corporate-owned media, they're able to maintain this perception. And the funny thing is, 1 month after the coup against Haiti, there was a hearing in Parliament, a standing committee on foreign affairs, where one guy from a think tank came in and said, the United States has asked us to take a lead role in Haiti because they're overtaxed in the Middle East. We enjoy a perception in the region that has us as a counterweight to the United States, so we have to take advantage of this perception.
Ah, he said that out his mouth?
He actually said that. Carlo Dade is his name. And that's the way it's been playing out. And that, it's, you know, Canada actually helped plan the coup d'etat.
And we hold that thought, please,
okay,
Anthony, because
sure.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Anthony Fenton, investigative journalist, writer for ZNet and the Dominion. He's joining us from Vancouver. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about Haiti. Please stay with us.
I don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Missouri Lottery. The I-70 reversible lanes are now open for eastbound traffic. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge is road construction. The right lane is closed as crews are putting the final stages on bridge work. There are no delays at this time. Northbound 55 between Virginia and 270 in Virginia. Look for normal traffic in your 6:30 commute. Eastbound 44 between Lewis and 270, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and Big Bend, everything is flowing freely. Northbound 270 at 44, nothing to report there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley, everything looks good. Eastbound 40 is busy from Maryville Center all the way to Mason. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 is a little slow in the southbound 55 reversible lanes. Westbound 64 at 5570 split, look for normal traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeese Landing, everything looks good. And northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, nothing to report there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy skies, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of the best of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is on vacation. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her beginning at 7 a.m. this morning, so tune in for that. Until then, enjoy the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lawanga Center.
Year begins, AAA reminds motorists to remember the ABCs of auto safety in its Schools Open Drive Carefully campaign. A great burden is on the motorists to take extra precautions when driving in areas with school-aged children. AAA offers these safety reminders for motorists. Watch for reduced speed limit signs in school zones that become effective when classes are in session. Remember the law about stopping before passing or overtaking a school bus stopped to pick up or discharge children. Watch out for youngsters riding bicycles who may appear suddenly from a blind spot. Help your child map out his or her safest way to school, and remember that traffic hazards near schools multiply when children are dropped off and picked up in family cars. Remember that school traffic controls are operating now that school has restarted, and anticipate the actions of youngsters and be ready for anything by reducing speed in areas where children are present. These reminders are brought to you by AAA.
Ahoy, mateys, this is your captain here. This is no time to swab the deck. It's time to take the crew to Kids Expo 2005. Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. You'll find a shipload of family-oriented products and services, including the debut of the new Yo-Stick from Playmate Toys, plus activities and entertainment for everyone. Don't forget to stop by Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars of gifts and prizes, including the grand prize, my very own treasure chest. Set sail now for Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square and sponsored by me shipmates at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
We now return to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Leave your doors alone. Don't you see that's what's wrong with the world? With the world today, babe. Everybody wants somebody to be their own piece of clay.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-9468. That's 1-877-920-9468. WGNU. Don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And if you missed an hour, go get an hour. We are archived daily. The Wake Up Call is on WhiteRoseSociety.org. So you can go get an hour, listen to it. You can go listen to all 4 hours at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Check out the website at LizBrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z Brown.com. We don't have blogs. We have blogitude. So you need to get to us. We have much, much, much to talk about. This morning we are talking about Haiti. And we are talking with investigative journalist Anthony Fenton. He is Canadian. He is joining us from Vancouver in British Columbia. Anthony, welcome back.
Hello.
And we're talking about the role of Canada in the coup d'etat that took place in Haiti. And we're talking about this whole this wonderful PR job that Canada has either done or had handed to them about their do no wrong in the world, but Canada has colonial attitudes and colonialistic actions.
Yes, sure. I mean, and the fact is, we internally colonize indigenous peoples.
Talk right? to us about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I'll give you a quote here from a book that's called The Fourth World, An Indian Reality, written by a native person named George Manuel in 1974. It says, Canada resorted to major acts of violence less often than the United States because she was a prime beneficiary of the American aggression against the peoples of the plains. Canada, like where I live in British Columbia, all of this land is illegally occupied. There was never a treaty signed. We just took it, and we continue to take it.
Mm.
Illegally expropriated for the resources, for the land, so we can develop. And this is pretty much the case across the country. And indigenous people continue to resist this, you know, without, it, of course, the assistance of the settler society, of which I'm a part. And that's sort of what Canada's activities abroad.
And isn't it interesting, even the choice of word settler as opposed to occupier?
Yeah, settler, occupier, yeah, both. At once, right?
There you go.
And unfortunately, this countenance is what we send abroad, right? But since we deny it internally, pretend it doesn't exist, we likewise deny and pretend it doesn't exist when we take this colonial mentality to places like Haiti. And so something like the peacekeeping, which is in, you know, the notion that the United Nations goes into these countries and is keeping the peace or making the peace, is turned on its head when we understand the reality of these occupations and see them for their true colonial nature. And there's a really good book, you know, because this has been on my mind, you know, the myth of Canadian peacekeeping, because it's actually the a prime minister at the time, when I was talking about Paul Martin Sr., the prime minister at the time was Lester B. Pearson, and he is considered the founding father of peacekeeping, right? And there's a book written by a woman named Shireen H. Razak called Dark Threats and White Knights, The Somalia Affair, Peacekeeping and the New Imperialism, and she quotes Rudyard Kipling at the beginning. And then when I was in Venezuela, I mentioned that as well, because Canada is basically at the forefront of revising the United Nations Charter so that they can step into countries that they deem to have failed and say, we have the responsibility to protect these countries because they are unable to govern themselves. It's our responsibility.
If that's not Rudyard Kipling, I don't know what is.
Exactly. And but they're doing that. It's a new doctrine called the responsibility to protect. Canada unveiled this new international policy, and this term is peppered throughout it. And the architects of the coup d'etat in Haiti, I've interviewed a few of them, and one of them hosted a secret meeting in Canada a year before the coup where basically all of this was predicted, and his only excuse was, hey, this is a responsibility to protect. He kept repeating.
White man's burning.
Yeah. He kept repeating it like a mantra.
Now, what is it about Haiti? What is the draw? What is the connection? Why this obsession with Haiti? Now, I get the part about we don't want the world to feel that and to remember that Haiti is the people that were enslaved and they overturned the most powerful government in the world at the time. They kicked Napoleon's behind. We don't want the Haitian people to ever be able to resonate with that and that to ever resonate to other people of African descent. I get that concern. Is there something additional to that?
Well, definitely. President Aristide himself was regarded as a threat, you know, the threat of a good example.
The threat of a good example. I like that.
When he was being demonized in exile in 1991 after he was overthrown, you'd see him compared to Fidel Castro. You'd see his relationship with Fidel Castro called into question. Haiti did have good relations with Cuba up to the time that Aristide was overthrown. Now, I'll mention that I'll bring Canada into this again real quickly because Haiti has always been envisioned by American elites and businessmen as a place where they can sew up their T-shirts and their pants and at the cheapest possible price because Haiti is the lowest on the rung as far as wage levels go in the hemisphere, and they want to keep it that way. Aristide and his government were fighting to increase wages, much to the chagrin of the local factory owners, such as Andy Appaid, who was the leader of the Group of 184, this so-called political opposition that the United States funded with Canada's help and helped create. And the largest T-shirt manufacturer in this hemisphere is a company called Gildan Activewear. They provide 40% of the United States T-shirt market, and their main subcontractor in Haiti is Andy Appaid. And they've recently moved. What they're doing is they're setting up two huge manufacturing hubs in the Dominican Republic and in Haiti. And the labor-intensive stuff will be done in Haiti.
And that's just a manufacturer's dream. They don't have to ship it from China.
Yep.
They don't have to ship it from, I mean, well, Haiti is how many miles away from the United States?
600.
600 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, and Gildan, they just set up a factory in North Carolina, so it's real lickety-split. And most of where all these massacres are taking place and where the support for Aristide remains strongest, that's where the biggest labor pool is for people like Andy Appaid. So they want.
And tell us who Andy Appaid is.
He's actually an American citizen, but he's the head of this. It's a coalition of businessmen and women and other associations in Haiti called the Group of 184. Between the years of 2000 and 2004, the United States, through the U.S. Agency for International Development, various organizations like the National Endowment for Democracy, the International Republican Institute, and a whole labyrinth of these organizations and agencies helped to organize this political opposition. And he would come out as a spokesperson, a businessman, calling himself Haitian, of course. He's a Haitian of Arab descent.
He's a very light-skinned Haitian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying,
like a Creole, the French, because they have that issue in Haiti as well, dark skin versus light skin, white versus black.
Right.
And elite and elite versus poor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's on that side, the elite side,
mm-hmm.
light skin side. And he, he and the Group of 184 presented this so-called social contract, and their premise was Aristide is authoritarian, Aristide is a dictator. He's a human rights abuser. He's undemocratic. He doesn't respect the opposition. Just standard stuff we can call them what they are, and they're neo-fascist.
They're terrorists.
Terrorists, yes. But at the time, of course, with the help of the media, they're able to paint this picture that they're truly democratic. The group of 184 was closely connected to another organization in Washington called the Haiti Democracy Project, a real Orwellian sort of name if I've ever seen one. And they worked together hand in hand, back and forth, and this all culminated. They were created at the end of 2002, and by 2003, you began to see the demands increasing. We can't negotiate with Aristide. He must be gotten rid of. And then they manufactured all sorts of scenarios where the group of 184 would have a demonstration, and they would provoke the police, or they would provoke the militants in the popular neighborhoods, and there would be violence, and it would always be blamed on Aristide. And then they just created the conditions, the perception again, that this is just a basket case. This is typical standard stuff in Haiti. They just don't know what they're doing down there.
Therefore, thereby responsibility to protect later on. And we have to take a break. Anthony Fenton, investigative journalist. He's a writer for Jeannette. He is joining us from Vancouver, British Columbia. We're talking about Haiti. We're talking about the Canadian connection to the coup d'etat. I'm Liz Brown. Anthony, is that phrase, threat of a good example, is that yours?
No, I heard that first from Noam Chomsky.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Am I stealing this if I take this? We'll be back. I'm talking to Anthony Fenton, investigative journalist. We're talking about Haiti. We'll be back.
Stick around for more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. And Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown, who's on vacation at 7 o'clock.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love, listening and sensitively responding to the needs at hand, and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Now we return back to the best of the wake-up call. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for the vacationing Liz Brown beginning at 7 a.m. Until then, here's more of the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
come away where they can't stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Come away with me. This is Liz Brown and the Wake Up Call. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. I'm talking to Anthony Fenton, investigative journalist, writer for ZNet. We're talking about Haiti and the Canada connection. We were talking about the group of 184, but I would kind of like to switch for a second, Anthony. Let's talk about the appointment of your new ambassador from Canada to Haiti.
You mean Hans Tippenauer?
Yes, I didn't know how to pronounce his name, so that's why I did it that way.
Okay, yeah.
Tippenauer.
He's bound up with the group of 184 too, because his nephew's a guy by the name of Hans Tippenauer. He's the first guy to get on the airwaves or the mainstream media and applaud the so-called rebels who came in from the Dominican Republic to militarily destabilize the Aristide regime as freedom fighters. He called them freedom fighters who are coming to support us. And Robert Tippenauer, he's been illegally appointed as ambassador to Canada. But that doesn't matter because everything they're doing is illegal and they're getting away with it. But he was accepted. His credentials were accepted by our Governor General, Adrian Clarkson. And interestingly, we now have a new Governor General who's been selected, and she's a Haitian, Canadian woman, Michelle Jean. This is being perceived many different ways. Of course, the Haitian-Canadian community, which is substantial. There are, I think, approximately 200,000 people of Haitian descent in Canada, mostly concentrated in Montreal.
And you have a Haitian-Canadian Chamber of Commerce as well.
Yeah, we do. Robert Tippenauer, he was the head of the first-ever Haitian-Canadian Chamber of Commerce, and this was set up after the coup to draw Canadian investment into Haiti and link up Canadian businessmen with Haitian businessmen, and of course the interim Haitian government. The interim Haitian government is made up of a lot of former putschists, people affiliated with the Duvalier era of military dictatorships. The nephew of the current Prime Minister, Gerard Latortue, his name is Yuri Latortue. He is one of the key, I've been told by good sources that he's one of the key narco traffickers in Haiti. He's connected to death squads. And he's been trying to, for many, many months, get weapons into the hands of the Haitian police so that they can better repress those who are calling for Aristide's return. So Robert Tippenauer is sort of just built into this whole elite framework. You know, 1% of Haiti's population controls roughly 50% of the wealth. There are more millionaires in Haiti per capita than any other Caribbean country.
Mm.
And they're the ones who are calling the shots. And Andy Appaid, I'd also might like to mention about him because he's been directly implicated in working with gang leaders to kill supporters of Aristide. He's been getting guns. So he's not just a factory sweatshop owner. He's also a...
He's a terrorist.
A terrorist, yeah.
I mean it's the same thing. The same people, the people that provided the hatchets and the machetes to the Hutus and the Tutsis, they're terrorists too. You can't throw the stone and hide the hand.
There you go.
He's just as responsible. And I want to go back to Tippenauer because this is a big deal that Tippenauer is in this position because he's kind of like setting or paving the way for Canadian companies to get their first dibs in Haiti.
Oh, most definitely. And they are. I mean, that's another part of it, right? The procurement industry. For reconstruction contracts. It's like a $200 billion a year industry. And it's corporations like Canada's SNC-Lavalin. You know, they get like $6 billion a year in contracts in Iraq, Afghanistan, Ivory Coast, you know, Sierra Leone, and Haiti, right? They built a $20 million embassy in Haiti after the coup. It came up in September of 2004. And they were involved in this big meeting with Tippenauer, like what piece of the pie can we get? Tippenauer's there helping just figure it all out.
And aren't there incentives that the Canadian government is giving to Tippenauer?
Incentives.
The companies that he's bringing there, the companies that are being employed, is the Canadian government actively participating in that?
Oh, yeah, like they would be a key negotiator. What we would have is the Canadian International Development Agency and other Canadian agencies acting as intermediaries for certain, you know. So, like the SNC-Lavalin, it won't be unusual to see them walking around with you know, Canadian government officials, you know. They're just sort of an extension of the Canadian imperial state. What they are.
And will Canada go in and do what the United States had through Halliburton and Brown and Root has done, these big reconstruction contracts in Haiti, just like they did in Iraq?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. There's even a name for it. It's called the Interim Cooperation Framework. That was sort of spearheaded by the World Bank.
Mm.
And the World Bank is working with, you guess it, the political opposition to Aristide. You know, they're on the steering committee for all this, but Canada is one of the, I think they're the second largest donor behind the United States. They pledged, you know, like they did in Iraq, they pledged billions of dollars to help reconstruct Haiti. And most of the emphasis is on security, because what they're doing, like in Iraq and Afghanistan, is undertaking sham elections. These are scheduled for November and December of this year now. And so they're doing a lot of aesthetic work, like they're paving roads to make it easier for the tanks, the UN tanks, to roll down. And SNC-Lavalin and other Canadian companies will help with that.
And the reason why the Hugo Chavez story is connected to this is because the stronger that Hugo Chavez gets, the stronger that his country gets, the more ability that he has to reach out to help people like Aristide.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. At this point, Chavez is much stronger today, even than when he was in February of 2004, when Aristide was still there. And who knows the type of relationship that they would have built by now.
Well, he offered a place for Aristide to come. He wanted Aristide to come to Venezuela when the coup d'etat took place.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And it's probably lucky for Chavez that he hasn't been hosting Aristide.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, they've been blaming all the violence. They've continued to blame it on Aristide from South Africa. They said that he's fomenting the violence. Roger Noriega, who, thank goodness, finally quit his position as Assistant Secretary of State. But yeah, the relationship, I'm sure it's ongoing too. We don't hear much from Jean-Bertrand Aristide, but we know Chavez stands behind his position, and that is that Aristide is a democratically elected president, and for there to be a resolution, and he's echoing the Haitian people here when he says it, you know, that Aristide has to be included. And we don't see that. It doesn't look like that's on the horizon for the elections, but the people continue to take to the streets, and they continue to get killed, and the struggle is going to continue.
Anthony Fitton, where can people read more about what you've written about Haiti and the Canadian connection?
Yeah, there's ZNet. That's www.zmag.org. I've also co-written a book that's coming out just this week called Canada in Haiti, Waging War on the Poor Majority with Eve Engler.
Oh, I'd like to get a copy of that.
Sure, I'll make sure we get you one.
Excellent. Anthony Fitton, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.
The following has been a rebroadcast of the Wake Up Call. Stick around. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for Liz Brown, who's on vacation, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
listening. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families. causing trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas, and the latest about Hurricane Katrina is grim. At least 55 people dead, and a short time ago, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour said as many as 80 people may have died in one county alone. It could be weeks before some Gulf Coast residents can return to their homes, or what's left of their homes.
Based on the visuals that I'm receiving and the reports that I'm receiving from the field, it may be several weeks at least before some folks can return to their neighborhoods.
FEMA Director Mike Brown in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This woman is from Mobile, Alabama.
All the gas stations are closed, out of power. We have nowhere to go. We can't use our ATM cards anywhere. We can't check into a motel anywhere because they have no power.
There's no power to about 1 million customers in Louisiana and Mississippi and elsewhere. More from ABC's Aaron Kuchersky in Mobile.
We know power is out, schools are closed, and debris is everywhere. Roads to affected areas had been impassable. Storm surge made streets downtown rivers. This city will be declared a federal disaster.
Rescue teams in boats and helicopters have been working since daybreak across the storm zone, searching for survivors and for bodies. One of the heart-wrenching stories of Hurricane Katrina comes from Biloxi, Mississippi, where Harvey Jackson lost Tonette, his wife of many years, when the storm surge split their house in two. Jackson says he's lost without his wife.
I'm lost. That's all I had.
The mayor of Biloxi was heard to say, "This is our tsunami." There's an unconfirmed report from Washington, meanwhile, that President Bush might tap into the federal strategic petroleum stockpile because some of the Gulf oil rigs and refineries were damaged. Those refineries produce about 10% of the oil and oil products that are used in this country. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
Whether you run a small business or a busy household, the UPS store wants you to remember these six words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
At the UPS store, we have a lot of different ways to help you. We have packing and shipping experts. We can print, copy, collate, and bind presentations. We can even set you up with a mailbox at our store. So the next time you have a lot to do, just think of these six words.
Don't you worry about a thing.
The UPS store, the place for packing and shipping and a whole lot more.
Help from around the country is heading to the hurricane zone, including some swift water rescue experts from Los Angeles. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
14 Los Angeles firefighters who are part of an elite swift water rescue team are loading up their trucks and boats onto military aircraft. They'll be flown into Louisiana.
This highly mobile force will be able to move throughout the Gulf Coast region. Their mission, of course, is to assist those who have been affected by this monumental storm.
LA Fire spokesman Brian Humphrey says the team's main goal will be to use boats to get to people who are stranded. The LA team is expecting to be in Louisiana for at least a week. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Hundreds of anti-war protesters in Sydney, Australia, broke through a steel fence circling the Sydney Opera House, where international business leaders were supposed to convene their annual conference, but the meeting had been moved. 1,000 police officers will provide security for the 3-day Forbes Global CEO Conference. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, opening statements are scheduled to get underway today in the trial of a St. Louis priest accused of molesting a boy. Father Thomas Graham is accused of repeatedly molesting the then 13-year-old boy at the old St. Louis Cathedral in the 1970s and 1980s. Graham is the second St. Louis area priest to go to court and face criminal sodomy charges. The Missouri Department of Revenue is under investigation. State Auditor Claire McCaskill's office has begun an audit of the department to look into inventory given to the department's private fee agents. Glenn Campbell, a spokesperson for the auditor's office, says the public has a right to know whether state equipment was given to private fee agents in exchange for a nominal fee. He says the department claims the equipment was junk, but has also said they received a lot of money for the equipment. Opponents of the Sunset Manor buyout claim there is still hope. This is in spite of Novus's weekend announcement requesting that homeowners give them another month to come up with the financing. Phyllis Hardy, a member of the Stop the Sunset Hills Land Grab group, says she believes the neighborhood could still be saved.
Some of them, you know, couldn't close on their new homes because they didn't have the money. I mean, if you don't have the money to close, they're back in their old homes. Of course, there were a few people who completely gutted their house and obviously could not move back to that home. You know, may need to be torn down and new buildings constructed. But yes, I think we could put the neighborhood back together.
Nova says their bank pulled out last week because of two lawsuits filed over the project. A new closing date is set for the end of next month. Finally this hour, Matt Morris will go for his third straight win tonight when the Cardinals play the middle game of their series against the Marlins. Morris will also be trying to win 15 games for the fourth time in his career. The veteran right-hander is 14-5 this season with a 3.74 ERA. The Cards will be looking for a bit of revenge against Marlins starter Ismael Valdez, who won at Busch Stadium earlier this month. Valdez has made 7 appearances for Florida this year and is 1-1 with an ERA of 4. Game time is 6:05. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 at Mattis Road, there's an accident on the right shoulder, and right lanes are backed up to near Merrimack Bottom. Westbound 64 at 157, look for an accident reported over on the east side. Westbound 5570 at Route 3, there's a minor accident involving tractor trailer. Traffic is backed up onto 64. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, right lane is closed as they're in the final stages of bridge work. There are no delays to the construction area at this hour. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and Potomac, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass, all the way into Merrimack River Bridge, look for stop-and-go traffic in the right lane as you approach Highway 270. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, you've got heavy volume already in your 7 a.m. commute. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44, you have stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 is slow from Maryville all the way to Mason Road. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume there. On eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit is closed for construction work. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. And eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for slow volume there as well. Southbound 55 between Union and Green Park, look for construction work, having the two right lanes closed. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow volume there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing, it is very heavy volume this hour. And northbound Route 3 is slow on top of the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire change with any purchase of any oil change. Now, taking a look at your WGNU Weather for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, mostly cloudy today with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy skies with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies yet once again with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71. Liz Brown is on vacation this week. Stick around for Irene J. Smith filling in for Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-Al-Anon or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
Why is it no matter where you turn the dial, you hear the same voices moving from station to station and the continual format flip-flops? Well, here at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, you get to help change all that. You can add your voice to the mix. And we've had much the same format for over 20 years. You can join the discussion by calling 314-454-0400 or 1-877-920-WGNU. Come to think of it, most of those other cookie-cutter stations are owned by large out-of-town conglomerates. We're not. We're locally owned and operated.
I am a child.
I am an adult.
I am 8 years old.
I am 40... Wait, is this important?
I'm in the second grade.
I work in an office.
I learn a lot of stuff.
I file papers, read emails, and...
I have recess twice a day.
I also have a special little friend.
I have a favorite grandma and a special lady friend.
I am a mentor to an amazing little girl.
I like her. Her name's Carol.
Her name's Lakeisha.
Volunteer to help a young child do better in school. Mentor St. Louis, the largest volunteer organization in the St. Louis public schools, needs volunteer mentors. Go to mentorstlouis.org or call 314-531-2570 and let something wonderful happen.
I know how to say I love you in Spanish. Te amo.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you on my return.
Good morning. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is vacationing, who is on vacation. We don't know about the vacationing. You can reach us at 454-0400, or you can call us long distance at 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. I thought this morning we might listen to a little bit of Charlie Parker, Chasing the Bird. All right, I enjoyed that so very much. You know, growing up is so nice to have been exposed to a wide variety of music, you know. I mean, from rhythm and blues to spirituals and gospels, to jazz, to classical music, you know, to even a little Latin music. It's just really nice. And I think that when we have the opportunity to expose our children to well-rounded individuals, that we should certainly do so, and we should also attempt to expose them to different types of music. I can tell you that when I was a youngster growing up in Cochran Housing Projects and going to St. Patrick's and St. Bridges and Providence, and here we were at Providence, you know, and just about everyone that attended Providence, with the exception of maybe two or three people, came out of one of the public housing complexes, either Cochran, either Vaughn, Pruitt-Igoe, Doris Webby, somewhere. But we were exposed to so many things because of the lay teachers that we had there, you know, Pearl Richardson, Miss McCullough, and the Sisters of Charities nuns that taught us. You know, we were exposed to classical music. You know, it was a yearly thing that we had to go to opera, to hear opera. We had to go hear a concert. And in fact, our music instructor, Ms. Shiska, was the assistant conductor of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. So we're exposed to all of that. And believe it or not, yours truly used to take violin lessons. And this was all done down on 25th and Melanthe, you know, just a shot eyes away from Pruitt-Igoe. And I have a friend, Kayla, who stuck with her music, and she played, I think, the viola and the violin, and baby, she could play. She was good. The sister was good. She was awesome. You know, this left-hander didn't do too well playing the violin, so soon I switched over to art, which I was much better at than playing the violin. But I still continued to have an appreciation. And so I think that we as parents, as aunts and uncles and big cousins and friends of the families, we should expose our children to a full array of music so that they can have an appreciation for different types of music. And as well as exposing them to different types of music, we should also expose them to different cultures so that we can have and they can have an appreciation of others' cultures and not get, as we often do here in America, tend to look down on individuals' cultures because they're different from ours. And one of the things that really kind of got next to me when I was reading an article one time on Condoleezza Rice was the comments that her parents made. She was growing up and they were trying to give her and expose her to all of what we call the finer things in life, you know, the music, the best music, you know. I believe she's a concert pianist. And they were going to have a talent show at her school, as if I recall the article, and I believe this article may have been in Essence several years ago. And she wanted, and her girlfriends, they wanted to do the Supremes. You know, they wanted to be the Supremes at the talent show. And her mother made a comment, according to the article and according to Condoleezza Rice, she was being quoted, you know, but not that that low-class music or something to that effect, and taking the notion that classical music is that high-class music. And I am hopeful that in this day and time that we have an appreciation for various types of music and that they are not ranked in terms of, you know, classical music being the high music and that kind of music that Howard and I like, you know, that jazz, that jujitsu, all that kind of music being ranked as low music, but that we have an appreciation for it. Certainly, there are skills involved in all types of music, you know. I dare say that I could not do what B.B. does on that guitar. You know, I could not handle Lucille the way B.B. handles Lucille. So I just want the listening audience to kind of think about that and kind of let me know how you feel about that. I know nowadays the biggest issue with most adults my age and older and even younger than me is that rap music. It is just of no redeeming value. But some of the music, some of the rap music, if you listen to it, it certainly has a message in it. And some of the messages are very derogatory. And so then I say to myself, how have we failed to convey to our young people how important it is to have an appreciation of self, to have an appreciation of females? How have we failed? So I just want you to think about that, ladies and gentlemen, of the listening audience, the morning wake-up call audience, the Liz Brown audience, and tell me how you think and how you feel about that, because we still have a ways to go, I think, in terms of exposing our children to a wide variety of music. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Your topic is excellent, and it's kind of ironic because before you came on, I wrote down some things, and I said to myself I was going to try to deal with something on a positive level. Here's what I have. When you look at what nurtures success, first of all, it takes a parent or parents, preferably parents, that I'm not going to take away from the single parent, discipline,
please, please
structure.
Don't. Please don't, because I was raised.
I wasn't going
that.
To. You notice I didn't. Discipline, structure, sacrifice, living within your means, responsibility and being responsible for your actions, learning to read and study, take up a marketable skill, don't kowtow or bow down to peer pressure, learn to be self-reliant and efficient. That's what breeds and nurtures success in my 51 years of living on this earth.
What is
and
success?
I think most people would agree with much of what I just said.
Brother, what is success?
I just gave the
now, you told me that you gave me the formula, but what is success?
Okay, I'll move on to that. I'll be glad to do that for you, and I like the way you challenged that. That's good. To me, success is when you know that you have achieved and you're constantly achieving some level of education and professionalism and try to find the skill that the good Lord gave you, like a B.B. King or like somebody that's a basketball player. Everybody is preordained and gifted with a certain gift. If they can ever go through life and find that which they're good at naturally and then turn that into some type of success to where you can make money and buy a house and take care of your kids and your family and live comfortably. So when we look at success, to me, it's a matter of self-indulgence in the perspective of your self-worth and trying to nurture your own self as far as education and learning a skill that's marketable. To me, that would be my definition of success, along with raising your children properly, going to PTA meetings, going to school, involving yourself with your kids, and trying to raise your kids in a way where they know what it is to do their homework, go to bed at a reasonable hour, respect other people's property, and try to give them some religious background also to where they go to a church or something, and try to sit down and talk to them and pass on your years of wisdom as an adult in a positive way, and it just takes time and patience to nurture that. So to me, that's my definition of success, is doing right by your family and your kids and trying to get yourself in order to where you are professional and successful at something, much like you being an attorney. You know, you had to go to school. You had to read books. You had to sacrifice. You weren't out late at night partying.
Yes,
you,
it was.
You were probably reading books, trying to.
I was out late at night partying. I scheduled my partying in.
You got straight A's?
No, I didn't get straight A's. Sometimes I got A's and B's, okay. You know. But I'm gonna tell you, I enjoyed, you know.
Wait a minute.
Now it's my turn now.
Go ahead, baby.
You know, what I'm saying to you is, I partied, and when I went out dancing, I stayed out. Sometimes I stayed out all night long. Okay, I stayed out at times to 6 o'clock in the morning when I knew I had to be at work at 7. And guess what? I took a shower and I was at work at 7. Okay, and so I think it's the same old saying that old folks will say. They'll say, "I had my fun if I don't get well no more." Well, I can say I had my fun if I don't get well anymore. So let me move on. I got some other calls.
Those topics that I brought up in reference to what nurtures success.
Yeah, I think a lot of that does. I think much of what you said is absolutely correct. But to many people, success is relative, you know. And
well, if you don't have discipline and structure and responsibility, I don't think you're going to go too far.
Well, and it depends on what too far is, you know.
Well, going to jail or doing something stupid rather than getting an education.
Well, that's true. A lot of people don't go to jail and don't get an education either.
Yeah,
you know,
walking the street broke.
Yeah, well, so I know a whole bunch of folks that didn't go to school, didn't go to jail, and are not walking the street broke. But your point is well taken. I think the more educated you are, and that does not necessarily mean formal education either. You know, we have the right to educate ourselves and the ability to do so. But I appreciate your comments. I'm going to move on to the next caller. Good morning.
Yes, older woman, but didn't you say you're... daughter that just graduated college is having a hard time finding a job. So
sure she is. I mean, well, I did too.
There it is, right there. You know,
But see, the reason what I instilled in her in terms of getting a college education is that so that she could advance her learning, you know, and not necessarily that she would get a good job, although those that tend to have a better education, sometimes better skills, tend to get better jobs. But that is not always the case, and we can talk to a lot of our young people about it because of the economy. The economy
is
in bad shape.
You know, older woman, people might think Blunt is a great success, and Bush, Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld. To me, these are some of the worst individuals in U.S. history. Even though they would be termed a success, they have no empathy, they have no compassion, and more frighteningly, like a psychopath, they have no guilt about what they have done and what they are doing. We see this thing, and this is beyond belief what has happened down south. They fear thousands are dead. You have a million people with no food, no money, no water. Houses were destroyed.
So
like
then
a
the
hydrogen
challenge,
bomb hit
so,
the place.
So a Roosevelt man. So then it is up to us as members of this country to, in whatever way we can, to aid our sisters and brothers who are in the southern states who have been devastated in whatever way we can, whether it's by going there to assist, by going to your local American Red Cross, and they are indicating that blood supplies are low.
Woman, they showed Haley Barbour. I used to call him Barberry, and he's the governor of Mississippi. He's a Roosevelt liberal today with the chaos that he sees. Let me ask you this.
My question to you is, what can you do?
Oh, sir. Well, get out the checkbook and send it to the American Red Cross,
okay,
or whatever.
Or if you're able-bodied, you go to your local Red Cross and you volunteer to assist in whatever way you can. The devastation is terrible, and I'm just very blessed that our family...
They just showed alligators roaming in the... the swamps of downtown New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm just happy to say that my family there is safe and they did not sustain very
could
much
I
damage.
Say one last thing. They,
yes, you can. You'll have the final word.
They showed this man where a friend told him that his wife had been swept away, that she said, take care of the babies. You know, I know death from a personal experience, and I know what that man's going through is his own personal Calvary, his own personal Golgotha.
Thank you, Roosevelt, man. We're at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you very much, older woman.
Thank you. Have a good day. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be right back after the break. I see you guys hanging there.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 64 at Illinois 157, there is a multi-vehicle car accident involving about a dozen cars. Only the left lane is getting through and traffic jams back west of Highway 50 at this hour. Eastbound Kingbridge traffic at the Illinois Bank. Look for a disabled vehicle. The right lane is blocked and traffic is getting by okay at this hour. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge. Road construction. The right lane is closed as crews are putting the final stages on bridge work. There are no delays this hour. Westbound 55 northbound 55 between Rivers Barracks and Arsenal. Look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 44 from the Chrysler plant to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for congestion. Stop and go traffic in the right lane as you approach Highway 270. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Clayton Warson. Look for stop and go traffic. There are no delays. Then all the way, and then they start up again around Hanley. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant Road. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79. You've got slow traffic there. Eastbound 40, last Missouri exit on Broadway is closed for construction work. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around there. Southbound 55 between Union and Green Park. There's construction going on. Two right lanes are closed, and there are no delays at this time. Westbound 64, 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit all the way into Laclede's Landing. You've got very heavy volume this hour. Route 3 is busy after 8th Street, then slow at the top of the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Highway N, west of Mid Rivers Mall Drive, look for an accident. And Butler Hill at 55, look for an accident there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, mostly cloudy day, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy until later in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy once again with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake-Up Call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, filling in for Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The St. Louis Gateway Postcard Club celebrates its 30th fall show on Labor Day weekend at the VFW Hall, 1234 Vandalia Street in Collinsville, Illinois. The shows will be on Friday, September 2nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, September 3rd from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is free. Stop by to see rare postcards from all over the world or show off your own collection. News to you from WGNU. Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of Today's Solutions with Dave Lenahan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you on my return.
Every moment you will find there's a broken heart, a tear of pride, a wish you made that never comes true. And somewhere, someone needs to be found. All the things we do, the things we say,
right, the things we do, and right now, whatever we can do to assist the hurricane's victims down south, we should do. If it's donating blood, if it's opening up your checkbook and donating to the Red Cross or whatever organization you feel will directly benefit the hurricane victims, whether it's going to your local Red Cross to volunteer, to get trained, to go down to assist with cleanup, whatever you can do, we should do it. And if you're not able to do anything financially or physically, one of the most important things you can do is pray that all be well for those who have been hit by the hurricane. We're going to go to the phone lines and talk to Guy. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay. I wanted to make a comment on the success part of the topic this morning.
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. About a week ago, I wrote a poem in reference to success.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could, I would like to read it.
Go ahead.
And it goes, "Who am I?" And it says, "With your permission, I would like to introduce myself to you. And if you would please present me to others. I am who I am. I know who I am, and I know who I am not. I understand that there is no one like me, and I am certain that I am not anyone else. I never compare myself to anyone, for I know that it is wrong to do so. Who am I? I am very successful. I am at peace with myself. I am very attractive. I am greatly strong. I am very much wanted, and I am free. Who am I? What's my name? My name is Sure. And with this being said, who am I? I am confident. And the main thing out of this is what I got is that I am at peace with myself. And if I'm at peace with myself, then I know I am successful.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's how I, you know, classify my success, not how big my wallet is.
Right. And there are some individuals, and I don't even believe that the first caller was implying, although some people believe that you are only successful because of the material trappings that you have or the
right.
financial ability, your financial
right.
ability to do whatever or how many greens you have in your pocket or
mm-hmm.
things of that nature. You know, I can tell you that having been an attorney for a very long time, I have had family members
mm-hmm.
and friends say, you know, if you would do such and such, Irene, you know, you could have, you could really be rich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you
right.
know, and I have had people to tell me, I don't understand you. You
right.
know, I had people to tell me, I don't understand you. I don't know why you moved to the county. You could have been a circuit court judge in St. Louis County a long time ago if you had stayed in the county counselor's office.
And trying to give you direction for your
right,
life.
Right. In terms of, and we are all, you know, I'm not going to insult God by trying
mm-hmm.
to compare myself to someone else in terms of what I should be, because he made us all individuals
right.
in the
right.
manner to his pleasing.
That's right. That's right.
And so I think when you say that when you're at peace with yourself, when you are not robbing, stealing, hurting anyone else, you can
right.
care for yourself and provide for yourself. And
that's
if
right.
you are at peace, then you are successful.
I am successful.
And, you know, you're responsible for yourself. You know, there are people who say, well, you know, if so-and-so would have did as much as they could, then maybe they could have had a big house. Well, maybe a big house isn't important. You know,
mm-hmm.
to them. You know, people say, you know, why are you still in North St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll share with my sisters and brothers, I'll, you know, pass by one of those nice, lovely homes on Lindo, and I'll say, you know, the only time of the year when I really wish that we had a big home was during the holidays, you know, when everybody gets together, so then everybody could go to their individual rooms, you know, and we could all come back together, we could cook, and we could take turns cooking, you know, and we could be
right.
together, you know, maybe for a week or two without totally getting on each other's nerves.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, that's not important to me, you know,
right.
but to
right.
some other person, if a person could not be at peace without obtaining those material things, then, you know, then
yeah.
they have to drive themselves to that level of what they call success.
Exactly. And that's the hope, and that's the reason why a lot of people are unhappy with big jobs and big money, because if they're not at peace with themselves and they're not, you know, feeling free, then they will always be looking for something to feel successful about.
Yeah, I think the thing that you said best was that you're at peace with yourself, and that's the
right.
most important, the very most important thing, that you can provide for your needs. I mean,
right.
sure, we're not
right.
saying, okay, I'm at peace, but I'm looking for my brother to pay my rent,
oh, no,
and
no,
I'm looking
no.
for my sister to buy my groceries,
no,
you know,
no,
but
no.
being at peace with yourself in terms of what you have accomplished
and
with
what
your
I have
life.
And I can take care of myself,
right.
because that makes me peaceful when I'm independent.
Right,
you know?
I understand that very much.
Right. Right.
But I appreciate your thoughts, and I appreciate the poem very much.
Yes, ma'am, and I'm going to be doing more of these in the near future.
Okay, thanks for the dialogue.
Okay, then.
All right, this is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. Liz is on vacation. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. You can reach us at 454-0400 or long distance at 1-877-920-WGNU. Or if you want to log in on the World Wide Web, log in at www.wgnu.net. Yesterday I indicated that we plan to have a discussion, probably about 2 hours of discussion, dealing with the eminent domain issue that is impacting everyone, all of the state and all of the country, but particularly we're interested in things that are going on in the state of Missouri and particularly in the city of St. Louis and the surrounding county areas. Yesterday, it was my understanding from talking to Brother Eugene Fowler that I was supposed to receive a fax from Sister Tally. I can tell you that I didn't receive the fax, so perhaps it needs to be faxed to me again. Dealing with eminent domain and giving us kind of an update on what is going on with the, actually I think there's been a committee of individuals formed from St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and even as far away as the Boot Hill, I believe, and down in near the Ozarks as well, who are dealing with this issue of eminent domain in terms of trying to put together something that is fair to the residents, fair to the business community as well in terms of further development that takes place in our community. But again, I'm in the process of putting together kind of a round robin with both, trying to have both sides represented to have a rather lively, informative discussion about eminent domain and how it's impacting many in our city. So, you know, if you are being impacted, certainly feel free to call in even before we have that discussion. We'll probably be later in the week or early next week to talk about eminent domain, because I think the Supreme Court decision, a lot of people were waiting in anticipation on the Supreme Court's decision in the New London case. And to those who were more interested in seeing greater protection for residents and citizens, many were not very pleased with that decision, because many thought that they just gave a blank check to government to do whatever they want to. But I will say to you that I think the greatest check that we have locally on the issue relative to eminent domain is that it is a very local issue, because although the authority comes from the state, it is your local governing boards, such as the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis and the various councils throughout the metropolitan area, that have to enact legislation to enable one to, you know, blight your property, take it, you know, where you're supposed to receive adequate compensation for that if that happens. But so it's our local officials that make that determination. And so that gives us a degree, I believe, of power. I think one of the things that many have been using, some of the local people feel that they have to, if they have to recall, then that is exactly what they will do, to try to get the attention of the local officials. But I will also indicate to the citizens, you need to be very watchful and mindful. When notices go up about projects that are going on in your area, when meeting notices come out, go to those meetings. When you receive notices in the mail, don't take it for granted. Go to those meetings, get the information, give the input. Whenever property is blighted in the city of St. Louis, there has to be notice of it posted. There has to be notice given to the owners who will be impacted. And there is a hearing before what we call the HUDs committee. You can come in, you can sign up to oppose it or to support it, but be involved. Don't wait till the last minute after the decision has been made to take the property and then try to rally people. And I'm not saying that once that happens it's too late, but be involved throughout the process. And also try to know what is going on in your area. I know a lot of us are working, some people are working two or three jobs just trying to make ends meet. But if you have access to a computer, I know now that the Board of Aldermen has a website and doing the news break, I'll get that information and you can keep up with legislation that is being introduced. We're nearing a break time, so you know we have to stop and hear a little news update. So I'll be right back with you after the break.
Behind the greatest gifts we'll ever give away, the things we do. Oh, yeah.
Give us some sort of game plan, PJ Brown, if you had to shut down the Spurs.
If I'm a coach, I'm a opposing coach, and I play against those guys, I let Tim Duncan have his 30 and 15. Behind Shaq, he's definitely the second best player in the league.
How does Brett Hull want people to think of Brett Hull?
that I'm as honest as the day is long.
What has it been like for Tom Arnold?
It takes a while for people to say, well, maybe he's not that guy. And also, right before I literally married her, I got sober, completely sober, and have been for 50 and a half years. That, to me, is the biggest change in my life.
That's Sports Overdrive, weeknights from 7 to 8 on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herbstack online at WGNU.net.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
We're going to go right to the phone lines. We've got a caller that's been holding a little bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm done fine.
That's good. Talk to us.
Yes. Okay. My name is Maxine Johnson over here in the Third Ward.
Okay.
And you probably heard my name. I don't know. But I'm over fighting for our neighbors. We're dealing with a pastor and his congregation, about 75 to 100 members,
mm-hmm.
who formed a development.
A development corporation?
Right, Salisbury Park Development, that little triangle area over there, North Florissant, Palm, and Salisbury.
Mm-hmm.
And our alderman kind of turned our property over to him without considering us.
Mm-hmm.
He blighted the property without our awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, telling, you know, we've had conversation with him telling us, don't worry, we're going to build around you. You know, but then we get letters saying, you know, say we're going to take it to eminent domain. And we're calling on the public to contact our alderman, contact his pastor, John Schmicky at Bethlehem Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm.
Contact him at 231-9615 and contact the alderman and let them know this is about the people. You know, this is the city of St. Louis. And
let me tell you, Miss Maxine, what's your last name?
Johnson. You call me Maxine.
Okay, Maxine, this is what I'm going to attempt to do. I'm going to attempt to get in touch with your alderman, Alderman Freeman Bosley. You said the pastor of the Development Corporation. Is he the president of the Development Corporation as well?
No, he was. But after we started bringing it to the public and exposing it, they switched president. He made Ben Berry, who was a church member,
okay.
the president. But his name is on all the signature as the buyer okay. of the property.
Okay, if you can do this for me, and I know Reverend Fowler is working with you guys,
yes.
I believe. If you could give me the telephone number. I have Alderman Bosley's telephone number. But if you can give me the telephone number of the president of the board of the Development Corporation, I would really like for us to have an open discussion. And I want all sides to be represented, so it won't be one-sided, so that we can really examine what is going on, and then the public will be free to form their opinion as to the manner in which things transpired.
Well, the number to the church is 231-9615. Kathy is the secretary. She can give you Mr. Benberry's number.
Okay, the number is what now?
231-9615.
9615. And Kathy is the secretary?
Yes, ma'am. And we're running out of time. 8 of my neighbors have already gone to court. I'm sure Pastor Fowler told you about that.
Okay. And Ben Berry?
Mr. Ben Berry, yes.
Is the president of the Development Corporation?
Yes, ma'am. And I think they've got Pastor Schmick as the vice president, but he's the owner. This is his project.
Is it a not-for-profit corporation?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who is the developer?
They hired Michelle Duffy as the real estate agent first.
Okay.
Now they've given her the title as a developer, but she's hired by.
Okay, so is the Development Corporation, what's the name of the Development Corporation?
Better Living Community Housing Project.
Better Living?
Yes, ma'am.
Community
Housing Project. And they've already built 16 townhouses, which are low-income houses.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is that the name of the corporation?
Yes, Better Living Communities Housing Project.
Okay.
That's the name of the project under the umbrella of the church.
Okay.
Bethlehem Lutheran Church right there at North Florida and Salisbury.
Okay.
And all we're asking, the people are asking is to include us in the plan, because when you see the property, there's a lot of vacant land, but the homes could easily be incorporated in that plan.
Okay. Okay, well, we intend to have a much more broader discussion about this.
Okay.
As, you know, we pull it together and try to get all sides in to discuss it, you know, and we're hopeful that a compromise and resolution can be made that is both beneficial to further development of that area as well as maintaining the homeowners that are there.
Yes, I did talk to the pastor, and everybody I sent to him, he gives them to Michelle Duffy, and I told him the pastors over here want to meet with him. He said, have them meet with Michelle. I said, Pastor, this is your project.
What's the pastor's name?
John Schmidtke, Schmidtke. And I grew up Lutheran, went to his church for a year with the Lutheran North, graduated from there, went to Valparaiso. This was not a stranger. I know Pastor Schmidtke pretty well.
Okay.
So when he came to our home 2 years ago, he didn't say that he had access to eminent domain. He just said he wanted to buy our property.
Okay. So. Well, we're hopeful, and the church is involved in this. So hopefully, some leverage can be made there as well.
Yeah, I don't know if Pastor Schmicky, Pastor Fowler told you that one of our neighbors had a heart attack and died.
One of them, the daughter called in yesterday.
Yeah. And that's Mr. Pruitt on the corner. He still wants to stay, and they still want over $8,000 they want to give him.
Mm.
But I'm praying, and I'm looking in every direction because the clock is ticking. I think they went to have the hearing and giving the money. I think they got like 90 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put this fire out to help people at home.
Okay. Well, Maxine, thank you so very much for calling in.
Is it okay if I give you my number? So if you want, it's 621-7185.
621-7185.
Mm-hmm. And my cell phone number is 800-5316. Just let me know after you talk to them, let the people know what the next move is.
You said 800-5316.
It's a 314-800-5316. And I just want to say thank you for this open opportunity to get the people involved and you to get involved, because everything we try seems to be fruitful, but we're not.
Well, I just think that the public needs to know because, you know, a lot of people there are a lot of rumors out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's important that the public hears the facts.
Yes.
And that they hear the facts from both sides.
Yes.
Now, if the other side chooses not to participate in the dialogue, then we will certainly move on without them. But we will certainly give them the opportunity to come and dialogue about this. But again, I thank you for calling in. And again, we are still very hopeful that the matter can be resolved in a manner that is in furtherance of development, but at the same time taking into consideration individuals who have been in the community and stayed there and sustained it when times were not the best of times.
Right,
okay?
And I got to over time and say, if anybody needs a benefit, it's us. We're weathered against the storm.
Yeah,
and
I can understand that, because I can tell you that when we were attempting to do the the Walgreens project, and that started with Representative Charles Quincy Troop and Sharon Tyus, the former alderwoman of the 20th Ward, designated the spot. And when it reached the point where the developer was not moving forward, we got another developer, and we had a problem. The church no longer wanted to sell their property. So what did we do? The developer sat down, and they came up with a design that enabled the church to stay there. And so that can happen. That can happen.
I'm so glad that passed that church over there on San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh, but it worked out real well, and that's all we want, you know.
Okay.
And I'm not only concerned about our neighborhood, but the whole North St. Louis is in jeopardy because I went to a task force meeting.
We're nearing the top of the hour.
All of North St. Louis is in jeopardy of eminent domain at this point.
All right, dear. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you. I look forward to hearing from you.
All right, we're at the top of the hour. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We're going to go to the news, and we'll be right back with you, so stay tuned.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
It was a nightmare. Just scared. I don't ever want to go through this again.
That's how one survivor in New Orleans talks about her close encounter with Hurricane Katrina. FEMA Director Mike Brown is in Baton Rouge and cannot get over what he's seeing.
This is near catastrophic. And what I've seen, the reports that I'm getting from people in the field, to me personally, this is a very sobering event.
He warns it may be several weeks before some residents are able to return to their neighborhoods. At least 55 people are dead, and that's a number that's sure to go up. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour believes there may be as many as 80 people killed in one Mississippi county alone. Teams from around the country are arriving to help with the rescue and the recovery operations. Rescue agencies have a plan of action, says Mobile, Alabama Mayor Michael Dow.
What we do is we start trucks of ice and trucks of food, and that we have distribution points for tarpaulins and all the kind of stuff you might think you would need to, keep rain out of your house.
Meanwhile, there's no food or drinkable water throughout much of the Gulf Coast storm zone. Power is out to a million customers, and of course, no power means no ATMs are working. And so there's no way to get quick cash. ABC's Bill Weir describes what he sees as he travels from Sorrento, Louisiana.
As you get into New Orleans, it is not the wind, it was the water doing most of the damage there. Officials say anywhere between 50% and 80% of New Orleans underwater this morning. So as they search block by city block, they find new forms of devastation.
Well, it's now Tropical Storm Katrina. It's just north of Mississippi and expected to turn toward the northeast over the next day or so. The storm is still a serious rainmaker, though, and it's touching off heavy downpours and even some tornadoes as well. This is ABC News.
Tom Brady and John Madden on the road. Two men, two strong wills, one serious satellite radio.
All right, Tom.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors. Boom! Paper covers rock. I win, Tom.
What's at stake? Sirius Satellite Radio.
Yes! Elvis Channel it is.
Elvis? How about some uncensored comedy?
These two giants of the gridiron may not agree on a choice of channel, but they both agree on Sirius Satellite Radio. With over 120 channels, including 100% commercial free music and the best sports coverage.
How about some eeny, meeny, miny, moe?
Right now, get a Sirius Satellite Radio for just $49.95 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Offer valid with 6-month prepaid subscription and available for a limited time at participating retailers. Subscriptions sold separately. Terms, conditions, and activation fee apply. Visit Best Buy, Circuit City, Crutchfield.com, Radio Shack, or Sirius.com for details. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
The Farmer's Almanac predicts some wild extremes in the weather this winter. ABC's Chuck Sievertson takes a look.
Blizzards in the Northeast, deep snow in New York, warmer in Northern California, frost in Florida for Christmas, heavy rain in Texas. That's all predicted in the Farmer's Almanac. The publisher claims the book's long-range weather forecasts are historically 80 to 85% accurate. A secret formula uses the moon's tidal action, planet positions, solar patterns, and more. The almanac predicts wetter in the Northwest and drier in the Rockies and Great Plains. 2 years ago, it predicted hurricane activity this year around September 10th. It was off by 10 to 12 days. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Iran's government is taking steps to give Cupid a helping hand. Iran's vice president says the government will create a $1.3 billion love fund, as they call it, so low-income young people can afford to move out of their parents' homes and get married. Iran will pay for the program with money from its oil profits. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, two St. Louis police officers are on administrative leave after the fatal shooting of a suspect. The officers found 41-year-old Gary Johnston standing outside a home and yelling in the 6300 block of Potomac late Sunday night. Police say Johnston went back into the house and returned with a 12-gauge shotgun. One officer fired the fatal shots at Johnston after police say he refused several orders to drop the gun. Hurricane Katrina could soon wreak havoc on prices at the gas pump. Joe Williams, the senior vice president of the Commerce Trust Company, says the hurricane forced the closure of oil refineries in the Gulf of Mexico. Yesterday's shutdown led oil prices to spiral to record highs of more than $70 a barrel, but prices later settled at around $67 a barrel. Williams says OPEC has agreed to try and make up for the lost production due to the hurricane. A conference is taking place in St. Louis that is designed to help keep America beautiful. The White House Conference on Cooperative Conservation is being held downtown at the America Center. U.S. Senator Jim Talent of Missouri spoke at the conference and said it's vitally important for those who actually use the land to be part of the solution.
It's very important that the people who use the land, who know the land the best, our farmers, our sportsmen, are keenly involved in the policy that shapes the use of our nation's natural resources.
The goal of the Conference on Cooperative Conservation is to spread the ideals of conservation to others and to share ideas on conservation. The three-day event concludes on Wednesday. Finally this hour, the Rams' offense appears to be in midseason form after racking up 21 first-half points in last night's 37-13 preseason victory over the Lions. Steven Jackson rumbled for 64 yards on the Rams' first play from scrimmage and finished the game with 14 carries for 108 yards and a score. Mark Bulger completed 11 of 14 passes for 167 yards and a 31-yard touchdown strike to Isaac Bruce, who caught 5 balls for 85 yards in the game. Bulger also added a 7-yard touchdown run to get the Rams on the scoreboard on their opening drive. The Rams are 2-1 on the preseason and will have their final regular season tune-up Friday night at home against the Chiefs. Rams quarterback Terry Fair was kept overnight in a Detroit hospital after being carted off the field with a sprained neck. Fair was injured when his head banged into the knee of Lions running back Kevin Jones while making a tackle in the first quarter. Fair did reportedly have feeling in his extremities and never lost consciousness. This WGNU news report is brought to you by Chevron Techron Concentrate. Don't forget to include Techron Concentrate as part of your car or truck's regular maintenance program. It cleans your entire fuel system in one tank full. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 40 at Timberlake Manor. That accident's been cleared. It's on the right shoulder now. Traffic backs up approaching Clarkson. Southbound 270 at 44 in Gravois. That accident's been cleared as well. Southbound 55 at Missouri Bottom. There's an accident on the right shoulder. There are no delays this hour. Eastbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge. There's road construction. The right lane is closed as crews are in the final stages of work there. And there are no delays at this hour. Northbound 55 between Weber and 44. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge is slow and lined up in the right lane as you approach the 270 interchange. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and McKnight. Look for stop-and-go traffic, then heavy all the way through Hanley. Northbound 270 from 55 to Marshall. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well in your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way into West Florissant. Expect very heavy volume in pockets. Eastbound 70 at 79. There you have slow traffic. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit on Broadway, is closed for construction work. You can use 11th Street to get around there. Southbound 55 between Union and Green Park. Look for construction. Two right lanes are closed. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 40 between Clayton, Skinker, and Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Southbound 270 from Olive to Ladue. You have slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Looks like it is stop and go at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic between the 5570 split and McLeod's Landing. A very heavy volume in your 8 a.m. commute. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You have slow traffic, as well as westbound 64 between 159 and 157 is slow traffic due to an earlier accident. And westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. Look for stop-and-go traffic, Highway N West at Mid Rivers Mall Drive. There's an accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-80s this evening. Mostly cloudy until later this evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Moving on to Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under overcast conditions, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting overcast skies and 72 degrees. Stay tuned for more of the wake-up call. Liz Brown is on vacation. However, we have Irene J. Smith filling in for her. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you on my return. Let me go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Miss Green. How are you?
It's Miss Smith.
Yes. Well, I can't hear you too good, but I don't
it's
know what
Miss
it is.
It's Miss Smith. But... You said Miss Green, and I was just correcting you.
Okay.
It's Miss Smith.
Oh, Miss Smith. Okay, I'm sorry. I was just looking at the news this morning, and I was thinking about, you know, out of all our leaders and things, especially in the black communities, I haven't heard too many of them speak about how the hip-hop generation is running our kids. You know, I know everybody will up and say, well, hey, you know, these people are making money. These people are wealthy. Look how good they are. But they never think about that old saying, as so many of us being religious-minded, reads in the Bible that says you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. And we look at what, if the Bible didn't say anything about the fruit was bad, it said the tree. And we look at the type of education that our kids are getting from the hip-hop world. Now, last night they had, I don't even look at them no more, you know, like the Music Award and the all of these type of things. It's because what it projects now is that black people is in the position of what all of their ancestors have died for. Music. Music was like the song that just went off. You understand? Marvin Gaye and them, you know, talking about personal things, feeling about people.
Let me ask you this. Come on now. Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're saying about some of the hip-hop music, okay? But to say that the hip-hop music is ruining things, then who bears responsibility for that?
Who bears responsibility for that?
Yes.
The black community, the black leaders.
Okay, wait. Now, how you going to put it just on the black leaders? Because, we cannot just blame... place their responsibility totally on black leaders. What about us as individuals, us as parents?
Well, you see, that's what I'm talking about. You see, okay, if you're talking about my family, it's my responsibility.
Okay.
But when you talk about something that is legitimate, legal, in a society, then it's the society's responsibility.
Okay, so it's society's responsibility and not just... black leadership.
Right.
Let me ask you this, because you use the phrase hip hop, okay, and that is a broad area. Mm-hmm. So when you say hip hop music, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to just like the Music Award. Now, I never seen, out of all of the time that the Music Awards and the Academy Awards been going on, that you saw people coming on the stage naked, nude. I never saw it all of these years, and I live out in Hollywood and everything else, you know, and I never seen or heard of that kind of stuff going on. I didn't hear of no...
And you find that, and obviously you find that offensive.
Sure I do,
okay.
Especially for my kids. Not for me,
okay.
It's because I know what was probably going on, but at least the people had a respect to do it. They was not show-off. You know, bragging about it. You know, even if you look at the things that we are trying to teach our kids about how bad cigarettes are. Here you is, you have a guy on there, one of the biggest eyes it is, but if he did it,
mm-hmm.
That's the first thing you see. It's him with a cigar in his mouth.
Okay.
Okay, so your kids are raising up. That's the seed that they are planting in our kids. I don't care.
But let me ask you this. One of the things about living in a so-called free society is that individuals have a right to portray and do certain things. Is that right?
Well, that's what they say.
Okay, well, what do you say? I mean, what do you think the First Amendment means?
I can understand where you're coming from. You're coming from that educational point
of view. No, I'm coming from what is. We do have a First Amendment right. And people have a First Amendment right to do certain things. Sure, we're trying to find a balance where what we feel is protecting the interests of our children, but I'm saying, where do we draw the line there? Where does parental responsibility come in? It's just like certain times when my daughter was growing up, she could not watch television during the week, okay? She had to concentrate on her studies, okay? That was one of the things that I did. Certain music could not be played in my house, okay? Now, I didn't do a search of her room to see if she had music that I did not view as fitting for her ears, but it could not be played where I heard it, you know? So that's something that I did as a parent. But, I mean, that's another discussion. Maybe that's something, in fact... I'm looking at an article that I'm going to read as a result of you bringing up this topic, and it's called The Culture of Hip-Hop, and it's by Michael Eric Dyson. And I'm going to look at that, and maybe we can have a little more informed discussion about that. But I understand your point. I understand some of the vulgarity. You know, people try to justify it. For me, it cannot be justified. You cannot justify, to me, degrading a woman. And particularly, most of the time, it is viewed as a black woman. So I don't appreciate that. But this is the only industry where you can talk about things in a derogatory manner, and people are multimillionaires as a result of that. And that's something, but they didn't become multimillionaires just because they're saying it. People are buying the music.
Well, you know, you know, if you learn how to be, if you live in a world of capitalist system, and you're living in a capitalist system, then you learn how to capitalize on what you have and what you can do. This is why that
so let me ask you this.
About the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it is right by law doesn't make it right in your heart.
I understand that. You are absolutely right. And so the question is, when does capitalism become exploitation?
The same thing I'm trying to talk about now. Let me give you one thing, and then I'm going to go. You know, we all know that there is racist people in this country.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, what is a better explosion way of expressing and telling people why they hate certain groups of people than to look at
the display.
This hip-hop culture. Now, just like the other night, okay, hey, you got some racist people who will sit back and say, you see? Say, now, they got the money and they got the whistle to get out of the ghetto, but can you tell me, are they living any different?
Mm.
While they still shooting each other, they still walking around showing their behind.
Mm.
Well, how they did with it? They still doing the same thing. It's just like those
You
can't get the country out of the boy.
Well, you know, there are some people that believe that nudity is not offensive.
There we go.
There are people that believe that nudity is not offensive. I mean, to me, you know, I guess I'm maybe a little bit more what people might call liberal. I think that there should be more tolerance taught, and then people wouldn't ooh and ah when they saw somebody's breast or they saw somebody's behind. But in this society, most people don't want to look at somebody's nude body, although there are other people who go to nudist colonies and they don't mind looking at someone's nude behind, and it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't faze them. So that's another whole discussion. But, brother, let me move on because the boys are totally lit up and you kicked it off. Thank you, though. Thank you. Have a good day.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
It's good to hear you. I like the format that the program is taking. Excuse me. I had two questions. Is it a rumor or is it a fact that St. Louis University is buying up Central Visual and Performing Arts School down there on the bridge? And
I don't know. I have no idea about that. But maybe Peter might be able to give us an update. I'm not sure if he's scheduled to be on tomorrow or not. So I have not. I heard that some time ago, and then I didn't hear it anymore, so I don't know.
That's a sickening feeling. Do you know who approves of sales of these schools to?
Yeah, the Board of Education does.
Oh, so they have to prove it before they can buy it.
Right.
And they're doing it without our knowing it.
Well, they have to approve it, and it should be at a public hearing.
I felt sick when I heard that. I think it's awful. Here our children are crammed into Southwest like a box of Cracker Jacks, and here they're selling our beautiful schools to these people who are greedy.
Hmm.
But anyway, the other question I want to ask you, do you think that Liz will probably have a discussion on the violence that's going on in our streets among our young people, like the brother mentioned before you.
Yeah, we need to have a discussion on that. We need to have a radio discussion, and we need to have a community forum discussion on that.
Yeah,
we really do, because something needs to be done about it.
So, you know, our children, you know, it's getting to the place where our children are not concerned about the education of their mind. It's more or less like, what realistic can I put on my body?
Mm. I think a lot of our children fit into what you're saying, but equally there are also a lot of our children who are concerned.
Right.
But unfortunately, those that are publicized are our children who are not concerned. And to me, that fault lies directly at our feet, you know, because we're responsible for nurturing our children, developing our children, and then it appears that we have failed with respect to many of our children.
Well, I feel the same way. I figure that if we're just concerned with our own personal children, then it becomes a a matter of selfishness, but when we're concerned with the whole of our community as well as all of our children, if they look like me and you, then we should be concerned about them, whether our children are safe or not. We should be concerned about the whole community. That's what happened with our people, with Frederick Douglass. You know, those that came up, all the generations before us, were not concerned about...
We have to be concerned about our children. You know, and it's all of our responsibility. At least that's the way I feel about it. Some people feel that once they've taken care of their immediate family, but you know, I don't feel that way. I mean, I've claimed people. There are people that think that I have 10 and 12 children because there are so many different kids calling me mama or ma or whatever. And I think that we have a responsibility to nurture children, whoever they are, wherever they are, you know. And just as my mother and my family were not the only ones who nurtured me,
right,
you know, the
right.
community, members in the community, you know, nurtured me. And I had, you know, that was my mother, that was my birth mother, and I had other mothers.
Yeah, well,
you know?
We had a whole street full of them.
Yes, we did.
And you
okay.
got thanked by all of them.
Sister, let me move on
so I
can get some other calls in. Thank you so
Ms.
much for your call.
Great job.
Thank you very much. Good morning, King on the car phone. Talk to us, please.
How you doing? I just hate to. I do understand what the gentleman was talking about our music, but we did not invent profanity. Okay, profanity's been on this earth for a long time. Now, how we use it, I guess, in the terms of entertainment, has brought about a change in how our kids may think. But again, profanity and even nudity. The word nudity. You can go to a beach in California or Florida, and everybody has on a bathing suit. And like you said, that's a thing of beauty, I guess, in the body. And they claim that only in America where you have this shining of how the body looks.
Mm.
You know, we kind of shine how it looks. We want to cover it up and whatever. But it is a beautiful thing, and we have to look at it like that. I do agree with you where parental guidance and community can change some of the kids' minds about how they view rap music. I always tell the kids rap music like a cartoon. Don't believe in it. It's entertainment. Go on.
Mm.
I don't believe in profanity as far as how the music is. I don't believe in the degrading of women. And we need to study more about how Africa and some countries of the world revere women. See, people, even this country don't revere women like they should. A woman gets pregnant, she got to work to 9 months before she can get up on a job. They don't take kids. And everybody is not doing their part, I mean, corporations and America, to make this where people understand where the woman is a beautiful thing, where the birth of a child is beautiful. There's a lot of things. So they get on this radio and try to make it look like everybody, I guess, is doing wrong. But again, a lot of our children are doing great. I'm going to go to Tennessee State, Jackson State game down in Memphis. There'll be thousands of young black kids in college who graduated from college who are doing well.
There are a lot of our children that are doing well that are in college and that are not in college, you know, that are pursuing other things. So I totally agree with you, but I think that we have. There is somewhat of a narrow-mindedness with respect to hip-hop. And I'm going to tell you, I really benefited this summer. The organization of Black Struggle, they had a forum out at Forest Park, and I was considered to be very blessed to be able to attend it. And one of the sections that they had was dealing with hip-hop, and I didn't say a word. I just listened, and it was so enlightening, and the young people there would have made anybody proud. I mean, there were those who could put it in a historical context and others. And so I think that we need to be more informed in our community with respect to hip-hop, and hopefully we can do that. Brother, I have some other people holding, so if it's okay, I'm going to move on. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's great to hear your voice again.
All righty.
I'd like to weigh in on that, on the hip-hop controversy. You know, it galls me and it burns me to hear people call in and try to blame hip-hop on society ills on hip-hop. Now, if that's all it takes is bad music to ruin a person, I mean, Jesus Christ, I mean, you got a lot of other things that's a lot more destructive that can harm a person. But what we all need to do as a society is teach civility. You have to, regardless of what person's seeing, you know, there's a such thing as a social decorum that people should learn and how to behave. You know, you get a bunch of people calling in trying to make everybody like themselves, and it just ain't gonna work. You know, that's why we have a constitution. Our constitution lays up guidelines for society, and not it's not religion. It's the constitution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if it was religion that's laying out the norms and the social structure of society, we wouldn't need no constitution.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that the Jado, the Christian Judeo basis forms our constitution? Has an input into the manner in which the constitution was formed?
Well, let's put it this way. I think that there were some similarities to religion, because that was the mindset at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But
I understand. I really understand the passion that Brother Obadiah expressed relative to rap music, and I also understand what you're saying in terms of trying to put it on balance. But I think his point is this: is that there are young people that are impacted by the music because that's all they listen to all the time. But I understand your point that you don't think that it impacts young people to the extent that it does.
No, because in my neighborhood, I don't know what he living in and who he hang around with, but in my neighborhood, I don't see all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see, if I see a kid doing something that is not appropriate, I'll confront him.
Mm.
And if
well, brother, we're nearing the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
I appreciate your comment, but I can't let you finish your comment because I've got to go to a break. It's at the bottom of the hour.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Money Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. I'll be back with you, callers, after the break.
Bills follow. Sky high. Send that boy off to that. Oh, make him wanna holler, the way they do my life. Yeah, make him wanna holler, the way they do my life.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by National City Bank. Southbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom, there's an accident on the right shoulder. There are no delays. Eastbound 70 at the Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. As the bridge work is becoming complete, the right lanes are closed. There are no delays through the work zone. Northbound 55 between River DePere and 44, nothing to report. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall Road, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into West Florissant, everything is running smoothly this hour. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for that traffic to be easing. Eastbound 40 at Highway, the last Missouri exit, which is at Broadway, is closed for road construction. You can use 11th Street to get around that exit as well. Southbound 55 between Union and Green Park, look for road construction to have. The two right lanes are closed. There are no delays at this hour. Eastbound 40 between Mason Road, look for that traffic to be easing. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Southbound 270 at Olive and Ladue, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, everything's on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing has returned back to normal. Northbound Route 3 between 8th Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic has returned back to normal as well. And also westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you have stop-and-go traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by National City Bank. Get free small business checking, spend less time banking, and more time growing your business. See how simple it really is. Call 888-NCB-4BIZ or stop by any National City branch for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. For today, mostly cloudy skies. High in the mid-80s this evening, mostly cloudy early, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding steady at 73 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field has 72 and clouds. Stay tuned for more of the Wake Up Call with your special guest host, Irene J. Smith, who's filling in for Liz Brown, who is on vacation this week. Until then, we'll take a look at your news, weather, and traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Steve Largent, President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association.
These days, drivers face all kinds of distractions.
Welcome to Wonder Burger. Can I take your order, please?
I'll have a double cheeseburger, a large...
Come on now, boys. You're going to have to settle down. It's really hard to concentrate with you fighting like that.
Before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, stop. Drive safely. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while you drive. In bad traffic or weather, save your call for later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device.
Sorry, it's really bad out. I've got to hang up.
You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
You've heard it since the day you were born.
Someday you'll go to college.
And as you grew, you began to believe what you heard.
You could be anything you want to be.
Until it became something you couldn't ignore.
I can be a teacher.
I can run my own company.
I can change my career.
Now there's a place that can help you reach your dream. College Zone. CollegeZone.com, powered by the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, is the trusted source for college information. You can go to college. Visit CollegeZone.com.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. There'll come a time. When the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow.
Okay, who is going to save the babies? You, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. How you doing, all the woman Smith? And good
I'm
morning
just,
day to you and everything.
Thank you. I'm just Irene J. Smith. I'm no longer an alderwoman.
Well, you feel honorable.
All right. I appreciate that.
But
talk
Irene,
to
you know,
us.
I looked at this devastation that took place in the southern coast of, you know, this country, and it's really something, you know. But the most particular thing that I saw, you know, that stood out in among the devastation was how our people, the poor and indigent of, you know, most of the area, you know, and in particular, you know, in New Orleans, how, you know, they evaluated the situation and they packed up, you know, the little belongings that they had, and they went to the, you know, the Superdome and, you know, just, you know, stayed there, you know, through the storms, devastation and might, you know. And basically, that's all, you know, the poor and indigent and people, you know, that don't have really a whole lot in this nation can do in times of situations like that. On the other hand, you have, you know, the hardy and the rich, you know, that a lot of times, you know, they refuse to leave a situation, and therefore a lot of times, you know, they may suffer, you know, that consequence, you know, not wanting to give up on the fact that, oh, you know, all of this that I work for, whatever, you know, is going to be washed away, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, we're talking about areas of the nation where the Gulf Coast line, you know, is a very prosperous part of the nation. And to have that all just washed away in a matter of hours is a hard thing to fathom.
It really is, but I wouldn't say that those that refused to leave their home were simply those who were well off. I can tell you, I have family in New Orleans, and I can tell you that they did not leave their home, and it wasn't about necessarily nothing material. You know, in terms of this is mine, I'm going to stay here, I'm going to protect it, because we looked at triple million dollar structures that were destroyed. Sometimes people feel like, hey, you know, this is my home, I'm going to be here, you know. My brother-in-law was there, okay, and with his father. And they didn't leave. His father is a roofer. You know, my brother-in-law just retired from the military reserves as a Marine, you know, he's a third degree plus black belt. He's a survival person, you know, and he's like, hey, you know, we'll make it. And that was their attitude. It wasn't about because they're not very materialistic individuals, so I know this. They just wanted to be at their house, and they were blessed. You know, there was very little damage done. I think they suffered some damage to their roof. But other than that, they are both safe, and we thank God for that. And so sometimes people leaving their homes doesn't really have to do with them trying to hold on and watch after their material possessions. Is that sometimes that's where they feel they're most comfortable. They feel that the storm is going to hit everywhere, and they feel that they are just as safe at their home as they would at the dome, or even trying to get to the dome.
And it's really, you know, a disaster in itself. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, a coin toss, so to speak. But
it is.
You know,
you just
have to, you know, have faith, and you have to, you know, move on. But it's really going to be, you know, a lot of, you know, work has to be done in cleaning up this situation, if it can be. But, you know, at the same time, you know, when you look at, you know, what's going on in other parts of the world, the death and destruction and devastation that's going on in nations such as Iraq and different areas and things, don't think that, you know, for one moment, you know, things can't be visited upon your land.
That's
and,
right.
and things can turn you around, you know, to a point where, you know, you may need help.
That's right. I mean, life is but a vapor, and if you place a whole lot of value in material things, you're really in for a very a deep heartache because in a moment's notice, you could lose every bit of material things that you have, as we saw yesterday down in the southern portion of the state. And so, you know, just the fact that, you know, you are alive and well, your loved ones are alive and well, that is so much to be thankful for. But, brother, do you think of any way that you might be able to assist those individuals down there? We talked about that a little bit this morning, what we could do as individuals ourselves to assist in that situation.
Well, hopefully, Irene, you know, assistance will be, you know, given and that sort of thing. You know, I find it very hard, you know, when, you know, we have, you know, a nation that's, you know, so, you know, what can I say, hell-bent on, you know, supporting war and doing things that are counter, you know, people, you know, or against people, you know, things happen where, you know, you're spending huge amounts of sums of money, you know, fighting war or, you know, the semblance of a war.
Yeah, I understand that, but I was talking about as an individual. As an individual, there are things that we can do. There are always things that we can do individually to assist. Rather, it's no more than pray or give blood. Or, you know, if you have the time and materials to go down and to assist or whatever way we can. And we have to, I know the government should do things, and I'm not trying to take the U.S. government off of any kind of a hook, because they should be hooked up and to the wall. But we as individuals can certainly do some things to assist as well, and I just don't want that to get passed.
No, you know, and it shouldn't be. I mean, with people of good spirit, you know, it should be done, Irene.
All right, thank you so much. You have a good one. All right, I'm going to go to the next caller. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Great. I think we ought to write a letter to our president to make sure he takes care of those people in those devastated areas.
Okay, start writing.
America is $11 trillion a year.
I understand.
$7 trillion a year.
So I agree with you.
I gave blood to the Red Cross.
Okay, well, that's good.
So, but I'm just saying that I pay a lot of taxes, and I would prefer to help those people than fight a $1 billion a day war.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And we're forced to help in other ways, but it's ridiculous when our GNP is $11 trillion. Those people should be set up in no time flat.
I agree, but guess you know what? I was listening
it's
this.
Horrible.
I was listening this morning, and they said 500 National Guardsmen would be going down there. You know, we don't even have the number of National Guardsmen that we could, you know, dispatch to that area because they're in Iraq, you know. And that's very shameful.
That's another problem. I didn't think about that. And I did 15 years in the military.
Right. That's a shameful fact. So in the meantime, in between time, if the government doesn't do, then we as individuals have to do what we can to assist.
Yeah, we all can send $10 to the Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
you know, things of that nature. But can I talk about something else?
We're nearing a break time. You got about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. It'll only take a minute. I would like to entertain music. Now, I hear a lot of elderly blacks call that I consider like my uncle. I'm 43. They sound like my uncles, the speech patterns. And, you know, if you look at old blues were very suggestive, you know. It talked about drugs. It's some blues songs that are so bad that I couldn't even tell you the name of them on the air. So, I mean, you know, and when I was growing up, you had, in the 70s, Prince came out in leotards. They had music has always been over the top.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't think the hip-hop community has nothing to do with the problem why your daughter, who's educated, can't get a job. It's another problem.
Oh, very definitely, and I wasn't...
That has nothing to do with it. You know, I was a union organizer, too, before, and believe me, black people, you know, we're having a hard time getting educated blacks to get a job. So you can imagine the problems that's going on with a kid who gets out of high school and just willing to be a hard worker is having when his hue... It's darker than others. Have a good day.
All right. We're nearing a break time, folks, and we'll come back. And he wasn't saying that I had suggested that rap music didn't cause my daughter to get a job. But I do understand your point. It's very well taken. But I think in response to that, I think the brother, if Obadiah had an opportunity to respond to that, he would probably say that the music was then very suggested, and that's that. It wasn't in the raw. And a lot of the stuff that we hear now is definitely in the raw. And I think that's what he was saying. say in response to that. But we're going to take a break right now. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back after the break. Contact numbers 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned.
And gave us everything.
God gave us everything.
And all he asks of us is we give each other love. Oh yeah. Don't go and talk about my father.
No, no, no.
'Cause God is my friend.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Center, this is Bernard.
Oh, God, please. I locked my truck and my granddaughter's inside.
Okay, ma'am.
Okay.
Can you unlock for you? Can you verify the PIN number?
276.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
I'm sending a signal right now. I'm going to keep you on the line. How's your granddaughter doing?
Oh, she's sound asleep.
Good. She's got a nervous wreck and she's sleeping quietly. Just go ahead and take a few moments and just breathe.
Okay.
Oh, is it much better now?
Oh, I've never done anything like that before.
It happens.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
It should be up. Go ahead and check the door.
Oh, God, I think I heard something. Yes. Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return. All right, and gave us everything. Thank you. All right, let me go right to the phones. We got the lines lit up. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, sister?
I'm doing good, brother.
Okay, I mean, brother.
How you doing, little brother?
I'm doing fine, my sister.
Talk to me.
Well, you know, I get easily irritated when people make comments about hip-hop without knowing the historical evolution of it, and I think I consider myself an expert on hip-hop.
Well, you're definitely a historian, so give us a brief synopsis of the historical evolution of hip-hop.
Well, first of all, when you speak of the hip-hop generation, you're actually talking about people who are in their 30s all the way up into their mid-40s. What people are commenting on now are those who are the children of the hip-hop generation, those who are now starting to listen to the music and now expressing it in their own ways. First of all, if we look at some of the pre-hip-hop people like the Watts Prophets and the Last Poets, a lot of their music, even though it was positive music had a lot of negative language in it.
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about Gil Scott-Heron and The Last Poets, right?
Right, and The Watch Prophets also.
Right.
So, you know, when people make comments about hip-hop, because they need to have a historical perspective on it first. I don't particularly care for some of the stuff now, but I do back for the purpose of historical collection. I have a large music collection, and my music collection is pretty much the story of hip-hop, if you were to listen to my music collection.
Mm, and some of it that you just appropriated from your sister.
Well, no, actually, not really. No, maybe some of your books, but not none of the records.
Okay, none of the records. You just took my books, okay?
Have a good day, man.
All right. And as you could suggest, yes, that was one of my younger brothers, and he didn't appropriate my music, but my books, a lot of my books from the Civil Rights Movement, hardback, originals, came up missing when I went away to law school because of my young brother that just called in. Good morning. Good morning, Brother Walter. Brother Walter, you gone? Good morning, Brother Don.
It's John. How you doing, Ms. Smith?
I'm fine. Talk to us this morning.
I'm doing pretty good. Well, I'm in a military station in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
And we're down here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are just so happy that you made it through.
Well, I'm just calling just to let all my friends and family who I haven't had a chance to talk to since I've been here. Unfortunately, the area that we live in is flooded.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is the power out in your area as well?
I mean, it's my wife just got off the telephone with someone down there, and it's complete devastation. We live on a naval base down there, and it's flooded.
Okay.
So I was just glad that I was able to get my family and my pets out of there.
Okay.
You know, and come back down to St. Louis. Okay. I've been there been in New Orleans probably about 10 months or so.
Okay. Okay. You know, so. Well, we are very pleased that you are safe.
Thank you.
And that your family is safe. And like I said earlier, I have family in New Orleans, and we were very blessed. They are all safe.
Right.
And their home did not suffer much damage, but so many people have lost so much down there.
Well, the big thing, you know, being in the military, you know, I know there's a lot of friends, you know, that decided to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had a chance to talk to them yet, but I'm just hoping and praying that they're okay.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But,
how long did it take you to get out?
Well, actually, because when did we leave? Saturday? We left there Saturday, and like early Saturday morning when they finally decided to evacuate because actually, you know, we really didn't see the storm coming.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday afternoon, you know, when most of the people started leaving, we waited till about 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not have a problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
Constant flow work.
So those who were in the military, the military gave you the option of leaving?
No, they made us leave.
Oh, okay.
Basically,
okay.
You know, the people that remained on base was pretty much like the military police. But there were some families that decided to stay.
Okay.
And, you know, I know the military told us to leave base,
mm-hmm.
but there were some families that did decide to stay.
Okay.
You know, so like I said, I mean, it's complete devastation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming we lost everything because what they're saying is that the base is completely underwater.
Mm. But you have the most important thing, your wife and your pets.
Exactly.
And so you're good. You're good to go.
Right. So like I said, I'm as far as like, you know, when we're going to be able to return, they're saying that it's going to be a while before we'll be able to go back down there. So even after the people start going back,
mm-hmm.
we'll probably still stay here for about another 3 or 4 days or so.
All right.
Because, I mean, it's going to be, you know, a lot of traffic trying to get back in there.
Right.
And it probably take us a day or so once we get back into the New Orleans area to even get home.
All right, then.
Okay, then.
All right, then. All right. We're just glad that you made it back in.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, you're all welcome.
Nope.
Walter.
Yes.
All right, you got This is Walter who dropped me on the first line.
I'm
You're back
sorry,
on the back
the
line.
One. That's the one. And I
okay, that's
I'm,
okay.
I'm deeply sorry.
No, that's okay. Come on, talk to us. We have about 3 minutes. Come on.
Okay. My question is about eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can a private developer literally take people's property under eminent domain?
Yes.
I mean, without making some sort of offer?
Yeah, they have to compensate you.
Take the property.
They can compensate you. And there's a process, and we're going to be talking about that in detail.
Okay.
And I'm going to be giving out some information because I did just recently receive a fax from the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse.
Right.
And so we will be talking a little bit more in detail about that.
Okay.
But and giving some understanding of how that process occurs and what has to transpire and things of that nature, okay?
And when will this meeting take place?
It's not going to... the coalition, I can give... I'm going to give that information out.
Okay.
I'll give the information out, what they want the citizens to do, and then hopefully we can have a coalition member to call in and give their contact numbers and tell where they can be contacted. They do have a P.O. box and a number that I will give out over the air, okay?
Okay. All right. Sister, I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay,
you're
God
welcome.
Bless.
For those who are interested in the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse, they are located at they have a P.O. box, which is P.O. box 10150, St. Louis, Missouri, 63115. They have a telephone number, and that is, the telephone number is 314-289-9830. I will, later go in detail in terms of the media advisory that they sent out in terms of what they would like the public to do, but I want to try to clear this lines before we go to the break. Actually, I can't do that because we're getting ready to go to the break. Callers, I got two of you all hanging. We're going to go to the news. We're at the top of the hour. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned, callers. We'll be back after the news.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. There's a broadcast report in Houston this morning that the FAA is enforcing a no-fly zone over New Orleans. There's no reason given and no confirmation from the FAA. Well, you might ask, what's Hurricane Katrina got to do with me? Oil analyst Peter Butel with the answer.
We are very likely to see gasoline prices rise 15 cents by this weekend, by this Labor Day weekend.
More than 10% of the Gulf Coast oil refinery capacity is shut down because of the storm. The weather's pretty nice this morning along the Gulf Coast, but there's a new flooding problem.
The water is actually rising in New Orleans. There's a breach in one of the levee sections. We need all of the patience we can possibly get from all of our citizens.
Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco.
The biggest concern is that this whole situation is totally overwhelming.
The situation's just as grim in neighboring Mississippi. ABC's Mike Von Fremd is in Meridian.
250,000 people here in Mississippi are now without power. Homes are damaged, the roads are a mess, and shelters here are overflowing. Now officials are begging people to stay put in the crowded shelters, but many say they're anxious to see what's left of their homes.
FEMA Director Mike Brown is saying some hurricane survivors might not be able to return to their neighborhoods for several weeks. Well, we're hearing stories of courage by frightened people in the midst of the storm. Faye Misko, who lives in Mobile, Alabama, got a frantic call from her elderly neighbor.
Went over and got her and her friend and brought them over to the house, and we put them up on my bed, put her up on the bed. and it was floating.
They were totally flooded out, but they rode out the hurricane together and survived. At least 55 people are dead, but the governor of Mississippi says it's possible as many as 80 people died in his state. This is ABC News.
We're on location today with world-renowned star and self-proclaimed breakfast enthusiast, The Sun. I just love your office.
Oh, thanks.
It's gorgeous. I'm losing my mind.
Great.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, okay, aside from lighting and heating the earth, what else do you get passionate about?
Oh, gosh. Lots of things, really. I love science fiction movies and romance languages, learning them, you know. Shoes, you know. I have a thing for shoes.
Goodness,
but
me.
I got to have to say, breakfast. A big breakfast topped off with Jimmy Dean sausage, that is a big favorite.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
The nostalgia of breakfast. Does sausage take you back to childhood?
It takes me back to this morning. But childhood, unfortunately, when I was a child, you see, sausage didn't even exist. Actually, there weren't even really planets.
Deep. Very powerful.
Oh, thanks.
The day begins with a great breakfast. Jimmy Dean.
Hey, happy breakfast, son.
Happy breakfast to you, too.
Uncle Sam offers tax breaks to eligible parents of college-age kids, but a new report finds many families are not taking advantage of it.
An analysis of nearly 2 million returns found that 1 in 4 taxpayers eligible for an education tax break doesn't claim it. The average savings, $169. 10% could have saved more than $500. It seems many parents are confused by the different deductions, credits, and savings accounts that can be used to help pay for college. The report also found some people pay too much tax by not picking the best program for their circumstances. The Treasury Department has urged lawmakers to take a look at education tax breaks and simplify them. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
President Bush will compare the war in Iraq to World War II when he speaks today at a San Diego naval base for the 60th anniversary of the end of World War II. We're told Mr. Bush will draw some historical comparisons between both wars. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a plan to cut Missouri's Medicaid benefits for medical equipment is the subject of a lawsuit. The cuts set to go into effect on Thursday would affect items including breathing equipment, wheelchair batteries, and hospital beds. The federal suit alleges that the cuts are illegal and asks the judge to issue a temporary restraining order to block them from taking effect. Illinois Congressman John Shimka says people need to be patient when it comes to seeing results of the recently passed energy bill.
Since we haven't had an energy plan for decades, we are reaping, unfortunately, the problems with that. And so the energy bill that we have now will start addressing some of these needs, but you just can't turn this economy around in a week.
He says the energy bill needs to be executed in the way it was intended for motorists to start seeing some relief at the gas pump. Despite that, the Republican says we still need to look into alternative sources of fuel such as E85. The city of St. Louis is getting a nearly $100,000 grant from the EPA for lead poisoning prevention. Some of the funding will go toward repainting fences at 5 elementary schools through the city's Good Fences Make Good Neighbors partnership with the St. Louis Public Schools. Money from the grant will also be used to increase the number of children tested for lead poisoning in 7 key zip codes. Finally this hour, the Brothers Grimm couldn't knock the 40-year-old virgin from the top spot of the box office. According to box office estimates, the 40-year-old virgin made $16.4 million in its second week of release. The Brothers Grimm debuted in second place with a take of $15.1 million. The airline thriller Red Eye fell a spot from last week to third place with a take of $10.4 million. Mark Wahlberg's latest film, Four Brothers, takes the fourth spot with $7.8 million in box office receipts. And Wedding Crashers rounds out the top five with $6.3 million. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and Manchester slow due to an earlier stall. Eastbound 70 at Blanchard Bridge. Road construction right lane is closed as crews are in the final stages of the bridge work. No delays in that construction area. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and Arsenal. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley. That traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge to Washington Elizabeth. Everything is on the move this hour. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit, is closed for construction work. You can use 11th Street exit to get around that. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley, that traffic's easing. Eastbound 44 at the Viaduct and Pacific, look for road construction. The right lane is closed. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. Westbound 5570 split at the PSB, that traffic is easing as well. Eastbound 5570 to PSB, look for road construction as the right lane is closed. Pine Street ramp to east or westbound 40 is closed due to construction. You can use Jefferson or Ewing to get around there. And North Florissant Road at 70, there's a vehicle reported on fire this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly cloudy day, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy early, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are holding under overcast skies at 73 degrees. Lambert Field has 73 as well. Liz Brown is on vacation. Stick around, though. Irene J. Smith will be filling in for her on the wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
A new statistic about skin cancer puts the spotlight on younger women. Researchers in Chicago say that the incidence of two types of skin cancer has almost tripled among women under the age of 40 in the U.S. since the late 1970s. It's not a huge number of cases each year, but it points to the continued popularity of getting a tan by using tanning beds and or laying in the sun. The two skin cancers are not the malignant type, melanoma, which can be deadly. They are basal cell and squamous cell cancers, which can be removed and treated more easily than melanoma. Both present as pink, sometimes scaly bumps on the skin, which sometimes bleed and do not go away. The researchers say the incidence of squamous cell cancers among men under 40 has also risen, and they say there's also a rapid increase of people over 50 being diagnosed with skin cancer. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you on my return. John Coltrane. The title of that cut is I'm Old Fashioned, and I think I am. Good morning.
Good morning, my sister.
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm walking up, I'm moving, I'm kicking. My folks down in New Orleans are safe and sound. I'm good.
Can't be more blessed than that.
That's right.
Let me ask you first, since one brother got the books, can I get the Queen Latifah?
That was a crack. Yeah, I'm going to put my search on this afternoon, and I'm going to give you a copy that I have for you of that. Yes.
But I was calling in not for that. I was calling in reference to the issue of eminent domain.
Yes, and I did receive a copy of the facts from Sister Pam Talley and yourself regarding actually an advisory. And you could probably save me reading it or summarizing it, and I can embellish on it. So go ahead, brother.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you would deal with that.
Okay.
Since time is so short.
Okay, go ahead.
But basically, I wanted to call in to say to you, I am waiting to work with you to pull that intimate domain two-hour thing together.
Okay.
Want the community to know right off the bat that we did form a St. Louis coalition to fight eminent domain abuse. It's a local group, we have a state group, and we have connected with a national group, the Institute for Justice, who's been nationally dealing with this issue for a period of time. What we've been doing so far, we have been meeting now for the last 5 going on 6 weeks, and what we've been doing is going throughout the city. We started in the Fifth Ward dealing with the issue of the Baptist building that, while we speak, have a court date of condemnation, and we won't go into all of that until we have that day set. That's scheduled for the 14th of September, and we're asking the community to join us in that effort of giving moral support. And it is basically our position that we're not against community improvement. You know, I live in one of the wards that have been neglected for more than 20 years. So, you know, I would be the last one that would fight against community improvement. But what I would always fight against is the blatant taking of one's property and then say that we're giving you what we consider to be, what they call that, a fair market price or fair market value, whatever that is. In the case of the Baptist building, we have been able to find what we consider to be a couple of flaws in that, one, we see a possibility of conflict of interest where the city of St. Louis is taking a piece of property to give to a developer and hire the developer's attorney to represent the city and then turn around and ask the owners of the Baptist building to hire you a lawyer and come to court. And the bottom line is we don't believe that none of these issues stand any chances in court at this point, especially when the Supreme Court has ruled that it is legal for them to do what they're doing. So as a result of that, we were very supportive and are very supportive of the governor's effort and the task force. There was a delegation of us from St. Louis that went to Jefferson City along with people from Sunset Hills and throughout the state of Missouri. And we basically are asking the task force to, number one, to join us in the call for the governor to do, and you helped me with this, we were talking about a moratorium. You convinced me with your legal mind that there's no such thing of a moratorium for the governor, but we did ask that the governor consider doing a executive order, which we believe at this point need to be so that the financial burden and the stress of this issue can be temporarily relieved from the citizens of the state of Missouri based on the fact that the task force is to end in December. It's supposed to make some recommendations in October. The legislators in January, when they come, is supposed to take the issue up. And we're calling on our city officials and state officials to join us in that call because we believe that eminent domain is one of the most critical issues, especially in the state of Missouri, less known in this country, since the right to work issue was about. So, again, we meet every Thursday. The city group has been meeting every Thursday at 2953 Dr. Martin Luther King. That's at the JVL Daycare Center, down at the bottom level of the daycare center. And I just wanted to call in to let you know that I was listening and that, yes, it is true that we have put together a group who's very committed to the elimination of the eminent domain abuse because we look at...
Brother, you said you all meet every Thursday. What time?
We meet from 6 to 7:30. We don't discuss nothing else. It is true that there is some efforts to recall some of the older people who have introduced eminent domain legislation and have not been able to respect the present stakeholders. But our position is we will not say to no community what not to do. But our issue is eminent domain. And if in that effort there needs to be a recall by the communities of elected officials, we support that wholeheartedly. But we do not allow for any other issue but eminent domain to be dealt with on our Thursday meetings. And I think it's very important because I'm understanding that there is a little rumor going around town that we have formed to lead the movement to recall from all the people.
That's not your effort. Your effort is to deal with eminent domain abuses.
Right.
And to support property owners in navigating through that process.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, thank you for that information.
And I'll talk to you later on this evening so we can put this together. So
okay. I'm going to try to get with you as soon as, at least give you a call when I get off the radio.
If you do, call me. I'm at the Baptist building presently.
Okay.
And that number is 289.
Okay.
9830.
Okay, well, I'll give you a call there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. And to that end, ladies and gentlemen, I did receive a media advisory from the Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse. As indicated by Brother Fowler, the governor has put together a task force on eminent domain reform. And, of course, they have already held hearings and meetings. I think the last one was August the 18th. But public comment can still be taken. So anyone wishing to make a statement to the task force should forward your statement to Sherry Fisher, Administrative Secretary, Governor Matt Blunt, Governor's Counsel's Office, State Capitol Room, 216, Jefferson City, Missouri, 65101. The telephone number there is area code 573-751-5218. That's the phone. The fax is same area code, 573-751-8099. You need to let your voices be heard. I would also, as the coalition is encouraging you to do, is to contact your legislators and let them know that it is wrong to take property from one private party and give it to another private party for economic gain. And as you know, with the Supreme Court decision in the New London case, which basically kind of upholds the abuse of eminent domain, it seems that the floodgates have like swung open. And the cases of eminent domain abuse throughout Missouri have like soared. So it is up to you to act now, you know, to protect your home and to protect your small business because you very well could be next. So again, if you want to forward your comments, you can forward those to the attention of Sherry Fisher, Administrative Secretary, Governor Matt Blunt, Governor's Counsel's Office, State Capitol Room, 216, Jefferson City, Missouri, 65101. The telephone number there is area code 573-751-5218. The fax number is 573-751-8099. There is also a email address, and that would be Sherry, and after her name, that is Sherry Fisher, Fisser, @mo.gov. Okay, so you can send your comments to the governor's task force. Additionally, I would encourage you to contact your state legislators and your local legislators to know and to note to them what your position is on eminent domain abuse. We're going to go to the next call at this time. Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Boy, it's tough. I've been sitting here watching this aftermath of Katrina. And
yes,
there's a brother down there in New Orleans. This thing hit three states, half of New Mississippi, half of Alabama, and it ravaged New Orleans. This man, this brother they were talking to, interviewing just now, just The reporter was almost crying too. I mean, this brother was trying to save his wife. He was pulling her on the top of the roof, trying to save her, and he couldn't hold her. She told him, "You can't hold me. Save the babies."
It's a very tragic situation. Very tragic, brother. So
what? And it's white, black. It ain't got no colors.
Hurricane gets you. It doesn't matter what hue you are, what color you are, what size you are, what kind of house you in, how rich you are, how poor you are.
It ain't gonna be 2 weeks. It's gonna be some months.
It does not discriminate. So, brother, what do you think that you could do to aid in that situation there?
Well, heck, if I had the cash, I'd go down there and help clean up if I could. I mean, I ain't no teenager no more, but
The Red Cross is saying that blood supplies are very low. There are a number of casualties. They don't know the number. I know this morning I heard 50.
And then I just heard 80, but you know, this is going to be
It's going to be much more, and, you know, we don't know how many people have been swept under.
You're right,
but we
trapped
know,
in trees and
right,
stuff.
Right, exactly.
This
so,
and water moccasins going crazy down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there's one other thing. We're talking about this hip-hop. I mean, there's positive hip-hop. And then there's negative hip-hop. I like the hip-hop with Gil Scott-Heron and the Fugees, like that. But some of this crap I'm seeing on MTV and BET, which is nothing but a cesspool anymore, since the only good thing they had on there was the news, and it's gone.
Well, let me ask you this. When you see that, do you call in? Do you contact them and tell them that you don't appreciate? What do you do?
You know, I haven't yet, but I guess that's a good starting point, because CBS owns it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great starting point.
It's making mega money for them, and you know, the public, you know, there are members of the public that like it, that support it. But you certainly have a right to make your position known. If you don't appreciate it and you think it's degrading or it's disrespectful or whatever it is.
I mean, I'm not a prude, but I've seen enough naked behinds that last me a lifetime, I guess. I mean, about a few years ago, that would have been, you couldn't do that on TV. I mean, they wouldn't even show Elvis Presley shaking his hips.
Hmm.
And now look what you got.
Yeah.
Well, that's my comment.
Thanks. All right, dear. Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Irene. You're doing a great job filling in for Liz, I'll say that.
Well, I appreciate it. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, did you happen to see on television, it was maybe 4 or 5 days ago, the thing about, was it Supreme Court Justice Souter's property, I believe, and it might have been Vermont or New Hampshire, somewhere like that, that there's a fellow from California that wants to develop his property. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
And I can't recall off the top of my head, I might have it with me in my briefcase, what position Souter took on the New London case. I don't recall.
Well, he was all for taking the property, of course.
Okay, well, there's
a wealthy fellow in California that wants to teach him a little bit of a lesson.
Well, let's see how far that goes.
Yeah, well, it's going to be called the Liberty Hotel.
The Liberty Hotel. The Liberty Hotel. And you believe that it was Justice Souter's property?
Well, it was.
Okay.
And they showed the property. The property looks really run down. I mean, it needs painting. The paint is peeling and all, and this is his main home. I mean, this is his primary residence when he goes back to that area. I mean, I'm sure he has a residence in the vicinity of Washington, but
and so this is in Vermont, right?
I believe it's in Vermont, if I'm correct. You know, I first read about this on the internet, on that website that Liz talks about sometimes, Infowars.com. I read about that about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and they finally had a television spot on it. It was about a 20-minute thing.
It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Like maybe like a 48 hours or something like that. One of these shows, something similar to that, and very, very interesting, though. And he's got plans for it, and the town is going to be voting on it, on whether or not to take the property. So he better be well liked by his neighbors, or his property may be going. But you know, this is the way we need to teach these judges, politicians. We need to give them a taste of their own medicine. It seems like they pass laws, and they're kind of immune to the laws that they pass. Have you noticed that?
Mm. Sometimes they try to be above them.
Exactly. They don't seem to be affected the way we are. Just like the war in Iraq. How many of them have children over there? Very, very few of them, and they're probably not in the real combat zone if they are over there. Yet, you know, they're willing to send everybody and anybody over there.
What was it during, what is it, Michael Moore's 9/11, I think, movie, he attempted to interview them. I think there's like one congressperson that has a congressman that has a child that is in the military.
Oh, I saw that. Well, he walked up to the fellow. He asked him if he had any that were of age, and he said he had a son. And he said, "Well, are you going to be encouraging him to go to the, to join the army?" And he gave him some information about recruiting. Remember that? And the fellow had it in his hand. And as he's walking away, he kind of hits Michael Moore, taps him on the shoulder with the pamphlet, and he says, "You know, I'll think about that."
That's something to think about. But yeah. I appreciate you bringing to our attention the issue relative to Justice Souter's property, and that's mm-hmm. something that I'm going to follow up on to see what the status of that is.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's hope that happens.
All right.
Okay,
you have a good day. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fairly fine.
You're good. You look at you talking, you're sitting up, and you on the telephone talking on the radio.
Anyway.
Talk to us.
Well, it was something that took place and still is going on down near that Gulf Coast region.
Yes, it is.
I feel for a lot of those folks. There's going to be a lot of loss of lives, jobs, etc. But we still standing and we got to press on.
Yeah, put one foot in front of the other.
And I know a lot of those people are up this way. I wish them well and wish better to come. I know it's going to be a lot of construction work just trying to get it back up and running. So things slow down. Maybe up this way, maybe some of us will run down that way.
Yes.
But I called because of Mr. Fowler and the abuse of eminent domain.
Citizens Coalition to Fight Eminent Domain Abuse.
Right, which is actually a component of a TIF factor. Eminent domain is inside of the package of, you know, tax increment financing factor.
And brother, can you hold on? Because we're nearing break time. Can you hold on a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Hold on.
This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. We're going to take a little break here, but our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with you after the break. Thank you.
This is AM 920. WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Science or religion, Republican or Democrat, politics, education, crime, or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies. What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
Learn about Missouri's birds and their flyways and work on earning your scout badges at the same time. Visit the Powder Valley Conservation Nature Center at 11715 Cragwold Road in Kirkwood on Saturday, September 3rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. All ages will enjoy the self-guided exhibit. No reservations are required. News to scouts from WGNU.
Is this going to be another boring weekend at your house?
Make like a pirate and escape to Kids Expo 2005, Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. It's high adventure in the Caribbean as you discover a bounty of family-oriented products and services. And your kids become the first to see and try out the new Yo Stick from Playmate Toys. Something to see, something to do, something for everyone to enjoy. Be sure to visit the SPC Treasure Cove in Center Court. Register to win one of thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes, including the Captain's Treasure Chest. So steal away to paradise at Kids Expo 2005, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 10th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, September 11th, in Fairview Heights. Hosted by St. Clair Square, sponsored by the crew at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you on my return.
Ever notice how when someone is listening to music that they really enjoy, they're sitting there saying, yes, yes, oh yes. Oh, just Coltrane. On a train. Let's go back to Zach. All right, Zach, we're back with you.
Right, we're back. We're talking about the intimate domain factor being a component of a TIFF package. And I'm involved with...
Okay, now you and I may know what a TIFF is, but many in our listening audience don't know. Explain what that is.
It's tax increment financing.
Okay, and tell them what that is.
That is when government put a package together for development to take place in what they call no-growth areas. And what they're doing today is they're clearing a lot of homes and structures so that they can have clear tracts of land for people potentially wanting to develop. Now, I'm not going to say that the package is conducive for everyone, but the overall scheme of thing is to add to the tax base money, which we need to run these various neighborhoods.
Let me say this. I understand what you're saying, but don't you think it's entirely possible, with all the talent that we have, to do developments that encompass existing structures, because we've done them numerous times before, without taking every piece of property that is located within? And in fact, you could put, when you bid the project out, you could bid it out in such a way that that's the case.
I understand what you're saying about the aesthetics, per se.
No, I'm not talking about aesthetics, because it has to do more with aesthetics. It has to do also with a person's property and their property right and their home. And what I'm saying is, what I'm challenging us to do is for us to be more creative in coming up with development plans that can encompass existing structures. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about no aesthetics. It goes beyond aesthetics.
Well, in some cases, you're right. But a lot of times, if you want to build a light industrial park, similar to what's done on 170 going north, you've got Gray Bar over there and few other Fortune 500 companies, and that's in the village of Bell Ridge, by the way. you don't want residential to be blended in with that or something that's not conducive with that theme of that industrial park.
That's very true. But most of the situations that we've been talking about here have been instances where we're talking about residential development that is going on. Where you could encompass and could, and sometimes even in the situation, I'll give an example, and I've used it and I'll use it as much as I can. We built a Walgreens collaborative effort, you know, with Charles Quincy Troup, former state rep, Sharon Tyers, former alderwoman of the 20th Ward, and myself.
All hard workers.
Okay, all hard workers. We had a developer that initially didn't do anything, you know, and then we got another developer that was willing to move forward. Issue. We had a church that was part of the development project that initially had agreed to sell, but after over time and been strung out by the former developer, just decided they did not want to sell the church. And that happened to be the original San Francisco Temple Church, okay, over on San Francisco. So what do? You force them out? No. What you do is use a little creativity, which this developer did. And actually we came up with a plan that allowed the church to stay. And we developed the project still. And what I'm saying is all too often that does not happen.
Well, we take the easy way out. If there was room for dialogue where you were able to make it all more conducive for all the parties involved.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hearing you say. In some developers are more cooperating than others.
But what I'm saying is the developer certainly plays a part into that. But the legislator who is handling the legislation, and you and I both know that there has to be legislation introduced to permit even for the developer to get a TIF, for the developer to get the eminent domain, the right of eminent domain to be used. There has to be legislation passed to do that. And what I'm saying is all too often, we do not use our leverage of power in terms of fashioning a proposal that will encompass those people who are already there. And another example, let's move on down into the 19th Ward. Let's move over on Olive, where we have Grand Center, who was supposed to be developing that area east of Spring for the longest. There are some structures there. There are some individuals there who have the ability and wherewithal to develop their own property. Yet, Grand Center has been sitting, not doing anything, when all of a sudden it was an urgent, you know, concern to take the property. People's properties have been taken. I'm not sure exactly what the situation is right now with Mr. Day, who had property down there forever. And what I'm saying is when we decide to develop, all too often, we just look at a total removal of existing property owners rather than incorporating those property owners into the development process and still moving forward.
We won't do it just with the tidbits that we're sharing with one another. But I've been dealing with this thing now because I'm a TIF commissioner also. And I get to sit down with the developers and also the residents in the various communities that I'm a commission of. And there's input from all sides. And I don't ever see an equal medium per se coming in there, because there's going to always be someone who felt that the deal wasn't good enough.
Of course you're going to have that, but all too often, and you and I both know, that all too often the deal is already set. I mean, let's be real. The deal is often already set before the everyday people who live in the area or even come to the table. Now, the way it should be done is certainly the people that live there should be part of the process. But, of course, that takes too much time. And that's one of the reasons why developers were sponsoring and were behind the ABCD effort. And I asked one developer. He said, well, you know, Irene, I won't have to deal with no alderman and the community people. All I want to do is go to one person and get my deal done. And you and I both know that that's the reality of the situation.
You voted no for ABCD.
Yes, I did.
Okay, and I understand why you did that as well. But back to the TIF factor. What also happens is this, and then I'm going to leave it alone, and I'm going to wish everybody well. But you got to develop. Nothing can stay the same. You've got areas that are blighted.
And people understand.
People homes that are coming apart.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you. You make a good point. And that's why the Citizens Coalition, you know what it says? It doesn't say to fight eminent domain. It says to fight eminent domain abuse.
Exactly.
And at the same time, we have people's homes who are coming apart, people's homes who incidentally have been redlined, individuals who have not been able to obtain funding to have their property repaired because they were not eligible for home repair dollars. Now they're in that situation. Now we have funding. I'm saying that we need to try to strike some type of balance where we assist property owners, particularly when we're talking about replacing homes and talking about building new homes. And we're not talking about bringing in, and a lot of times in addition to that,
we're also talking about stabilizing home values as well.
I understand that, but if the home is gone, you're not stabilizing that particular home value. And
Remaining homes,
that's true. But what we're saying is the property owners who are there, who have stayed the course, that they should have an opportunity and we should provide assistance to them as well.
That's where the medium has to come in.
That's right. And presently that medium is not coming in.
Well, you're going to fight to get yourselves there. But at the same time, I think it's imperative that you don't overly exploit those who aren't as well versed as yourselves and others with this thing. They need to understand, and it's nothing that I've done or you've done, but it's what they call progress. You know, I didn't like the idea of having to sell the property in a home that I had my children in, per se, but progress caught up, and I was in that spot where progress decided to drop in on.
And it's always the question of what is progress.
But let me say this.
Go ahead. You're going to get the last word because we're going to have to go to a break.
I made certain that I got the monies that I needed to at least have an amicable start.
All right. And that's important. And what I'm saying to you, brother, sometimes a lot of other individuals are not situated that way.
That's why I say it's important that we break it down to them where they can understand it. Sometime, like maybe we're 3 years old, break it down to me where I can get this money and get my upstart.
All right.
Or change is coming.
All right. Thank you, dear. Thank you for calling in.
And thank you.
All right. We're at another break time. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is on vacation. Our contact numbers are 454-0400, long distance 1-877-920-WGNU, or log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the break.
To find out the answer to that long-standing question, ask the doc. Dr. Pat, that is. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to noon, call in and talk to Dr. Pat about whatever's on your mind. So if you're wondering, what's up, doc? Find out for 2 hours every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon with Dr. Pat here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
The Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gehr, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenihan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. I just wanted you to know that I will be on vacation until September 12th. Until then, you will be in the kind and capable hands of Alderwoman Irene J. Smith. Until then, stay strong. I will see you upon my return.
Coltrane on the morning wake-up call. We appreciate the brother that just called in to give us a little background on the aspect of tax increment financing, but it wasn't quite broken down as he indicated, which means that we need to have more discussion about it and maybe develop some criteria as to circumstances under which you come in and buy out an area, you know. The people may say, that's not practical, but, you know, let's look at it and see what we can do. Let me go to the phone lines. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Smith. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Thank God. Thank God. Ms. Smith, I'd like to just pick your brain for a second.
is there any to pick?
Me and me and about 14,000 other people.
Oh, man.
Okay. Well, If I got to pick a brain, I might as well be yours now.
All right, come on. I'll see if I allow you to pick it.
All right. What I'm trying to find out is the mayor is a member of the police board of commissioners. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now, he sits in on their meetings, and is he an actual participant, yeah, or doesn't he have any voice at all?
He's a participant.
Okay. So if I were going to, let's say, for example, sue the mayor on a matter involving the Board of Police Commissioners, can he say that
if he's a member of the Board of Police Commissioners, when you sue them, you're going to name the board as a whole and the board members in their official and, you know, sometimes personal capacity.
Right. So in other words, he is you see, I knew I called the right person. Listen, God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Talk to us, Arthur.
Good morning. Good program.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
I hope you allow me the time to rebut the man that was all for condemning other people's property.
I don't think that he was all for condemning. I think he's trying to find a balance. He's a very knowledgeable individual.
Well, let me give you the other side.
Okay, go ahead.
There's several aspects. First of all, in my opinion, it's morally wrong to confiscate a person's property in order to convey it to another person. If you want to confiscate it for a post office or police station or a federal building, that's one thing. But to take it away from one person to give it to another, that's, in my opinion, is morally wrong. Now, they come forth with progress. Everything's progress that they want to do. But, and the TIF and the urban renewal projects will represent progress, and they'll bring more money into the city. I'm sure you know a little bit about the first urban renewal project, which was down there in Mill Creek Valley.
In Mill Creek, yeah, my family was down there.
Okay, that was the biggest one in the country at that time. Progress, bring in more money. Then after that, I believe Mansion House came, and that was sold to the people. You had to pass a bond issue with Progress or Decay, and that was supposed to bring in more money. And then I think St. Louis Center, I'm not quite sure if that was urban renewal.
Well, St. Louis Center was probably a failure, but I think you're right.
Okay. We've had all these things which in the eyes of some people represent progress, and they bring in more money, and they can provide more services. When Mill Creek Valley was done, I think the population of the city of St. Louis was around 800,000. Now it's around 300,000. That doesn't look like progress to me. If these things were progress and bestowed so much benefits upon the citizens, the city's population would at least stay stable instead of declining. Are you familiar with that story in the Bible about King Ahab and Naboth, where the king wanted the man's property? It was a desirable location.
Mm-hmm.
And the man didn't want to sell. And so they arranged to have the man bumped off. They had him killed to get his property. Now, we're not quite that crude, but I think there are some elderly people who are evicted from homes they might have lived in for 50 years that it hastens their death because we took their property, which they loved, and they wanted to stay in until they died, to give it to some private developer to make money in the interest of progress and more taxation. Mm-hmm. Where does fairness and righteousness enter into us? Are we going to sell our souls for progress and money and more taxes?
Yeah, I think your point is very well taken, and there has to be a balance struck in this thing.
Well, the people that are going to be affected, they never get into the picture until it's already a done deal.
And that was my point to the caller who was talking about the TIS. That was my point to him, is that quite often, you know, the property owners in the surrounding area are not really brought to the table and merely involved in it. And sometimes is through fault of their own by not, you know, paying attention, not becoming involved in meetings and not going to community meetings. So when you have community meetings in your area, when the alderman sends out notices about community meetings, come to those meetings, ask questions, inquire, because you can look up, and it may be your property that is being taken. Let me move on to try to get...
Let me say one last thing.
Okay.
It's morally wrong to confiscate somebody's property to convey it to another person that is more financially sound, has more money and influence. It's just wrong.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I just want to thank you for bringing up the issue of redlining, particularly in this city, because redlining has occurred by design over the years. So callers need to recognize that this has been a plan for years and years to make certain that property that will be seen as prime in the future is allowed to deteriorate
right,
so that it can be taken. The other issue is that the argument of development for the sake of tax dollars, increasing tax dollars, doesn't make sense if you give not only the TIF, the tax abatement to those developers for 15, 20, 25 years.
Exactly.
It reduces the tax base, yet the earnings tax is just 1%, and most of the employees of those companies don't want to live in the city, so they're paying just the earnings tax, not personal property themselves. So, you know, people need to wake up, as you said, and pay attention to what's going on and voice their concerns, because
right,
it's the wool is being pulled over people's eyes.
And the thing of it, we cannot really have, I think, an informed discussion about eminent domain, particularly in North St. Louis, without visiting the Team 4 plan.
Exactly.
Okay? We cannot have a discussion about eminent domain without talking about the Team 4 plan and how systematically there was, what can we use the phrase, has been so overused, but benign neglect.
Well, they said they put it on the shelf, but actually they just stopped talking about
exactly.
it and implemented it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know,
right.
So I think that there needs to be more discussion about it, more information, and certainly people need to become involved in their communities and not sit back and, you know, say, well, I'm not going to that meeting. If there is a meeting in your community, go to the meeting, find out what's going on, because it can end up being your property.
Well, and I want to make a suggestion, because perhaps we are overusing what may have been practical means of distributing information in the past, but they're not working now. So if it takes going door to door and getting people to be educated and be those door to door informers, then maybe that's the way we need to start reaching the people. Because if they're not going to come to a meeting, if the meeting is not at the time, if their family matters prohibit them from coming, then let's use some other means, because it's not getting on the news.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, that's true. You can go door to door, but you certainly have to have the bodies to do so. Sister,
exactly.
I want to move on and get this last caller because we're
Bye.
Almost out of time. Thank you. Good morning.
How are you, Sister Irene?
I'm very good, Brother Malik. How are you?
Yeah, I didn't know you were on.
Yes, sir. I've been on since yesterday.
Oh, well, okay. Then I did at least catch you. You're about ready to go off now, though, aren't you?
Yes, sir. We got about a minute.
So yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I got something for you in the morning.
All right.
All right. I want the whole audience to listen to it.
All right, then.
All right. Peace, sister.
Peace be with you as well. Well, we've had some lively discussion here today, a variety of discussion. We've gone from talking about music and its influence, at least a little bit, to talking about, of course, the devastation with the Hurricane Katrina. Ah, there's my music, Coltrane. We're out of time. And so I want you to have a good day. This has been the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This has been Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is vacationing. Stay tuned. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a good day.
GNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Tropical storm Katrina is north of Mississippi this morning, but even though the sky over the Gulf Coast is mostly clear, the water's still rising in New Orleans. At least two levees were breached, sending water from Lake Pontchartrain into several neighborhoods. Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco says it's almost impossible to say where the hurricane cleanup will begin.
We have to do some major